is the Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, the new episode every Thursday. This is episode 137, and this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Bears, my personal favorite, A Haunted House.
Bears.
Haunted House 2, Heaven Is For Real, and Transcendence. Spoiler-free review of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, and Joe. Our From the Outside In topic this week, summer 2014 is almost upon us. The movies we're most looking forward to, and what movie we think is going to be this year's Lone Ranger. After the normal show, we're going to discuss the Game of Thrones season premiere, but we're not going to talk about that until the very end. We're going to have the latest in movie and TV news, as always, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson, and with me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Great. That was the most exciting, hey, how's it going, I've heard in a long time. Justin McCumber.
What's up, brother?
And Brian Williams.
Hello!
See? They know how to... What's wrong with you, Scott? Do you want to talk about it?
Scott, you're fired.
You want a hug?
No, I'm good.
Bring Sean back.
No, I'm good.
Speaking of Sean, who one of our listeners named, what did they call him? Dude whose name I can't remember, but I liked on the show or something like that.
That's someone really wrote it.
Yeah, something like that. That's how he remembered him.
Calgon, take me away.
Yeah. He popped in, and with Justin and I, we did a Captain America Winter Soldier special episode. So it was all
we did.
Captain America. It was actually pretty good. We've never done one of those for it's just one movie. So if you like those, let us know. Maybe we'll do them for some of the bigger ones this summer. But if you didn't like it, we won't ever do it again. So let us know. Expendables 3. Did you guys see the new trailer?
Awesome.
Really? I didn't
think... I was shocked at how much it turned me from a, to a, all right, I've got to see that. And sadly, I think it was Harrison Ford's face popping up that somehow added 10 levels of legitimacy to this movie that it never could have had otherwise. I was suddenly, all right, yeah, I'm in theaters. Let's do this.
Because you didn't really like the last two, right?
I liked the first one. I didn't think the second one was all that great. I wasn't sure what to expect out of the third one, but now after that trailer, I am excited.
And if you haven't seen it, it's on thehollywoodoutsider.com. It's very short, but it's showing you every guy that's in it. And I mean, it's Wesley Snipes with a huge fro. Prison fro, I'm guessing.
Prison fro.
Yeah. And you've got Harrison Ford. Who else is in this? Antonio Banderas.
Kelsey Grammer with a beard.
What?
Exactly, because nothing scares you more than Fraser Crane coming at you.
Hey, he pulled off Beast pretty well.
All right.
That was like a full body beard.
Yeah.
That's neck beard that doesn't stop.
Brian, you and I, that was one of our favorite movies when the second one came out. What did you think? Did you get jacked up?
I got excited, but it's one of those things where it doesn't show you enough other than the really just the faces of the people who's in it, and which I pretty much knew the majority of them anyway. So it was just really a reminder for me to get excited that in a few months we'll get to see it. So, but it didn't show me anything extra that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that one coming. I got to, really got to go see it now. But
that's true, yeah. But it did show a lot of sweaty men running around with guns. I liked it.
You know what? And nothing makes us happier than a bunch of older, not even middle-aged, upper,
retirement
octogenarians,
septo-octogenarians running around sweating and with guns and helicopters.
Oh, but they're so strong.
I mean, at some point, this is going to be like Red, right?
I think they're past red.
We're like an infrared now.
Yeah, they're infrared. They're a few years past it. But they're still, they're ripped. Schwarzenegger's ripped again. Stallone's never not been ripped. So, I don't know. Harrison Ford dyed his hair, so he's not running around with his gray hair.
There were no refrigerators to be seen?
None.
Did he have his earring?
I'm sure he did. Because he thinks
that's how he's edgy.
Yeah, exactly. It's how he stays hip to the kids. I just loved it. If you guys haven't seen it, you got to check it out. My sweat did push-ups. That's how freaking manly that thing was. And last week, exactly. Brian has a theory on movie times, that movies have to be more than 90 minutes. And he actually got so mad, he wrote an article.
I was shocked.
Shocked. Because if you've ever been on our website, Brian doesn't write articles.
Brian doesn't. Brian doesn't really read articles too much unless there's a lot of pictures. So to write one is I'm embarrassed how long it took, but there was a lot of love and thought put into it, except very poor editing. So I apologize for grammar mistakes. But
I corrected
by that time, my eyes were crossed so far I could, see behind my ears. I mean, it was just.
Well, it was
didn't give a shit at that point.
It was well done. So definitely, it's on the site. Feel free to check it out. Brian, actually, you can write, man. You actually did a good job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Whoa.
I love the quantification of actually.
Let's not go too far.
Yeah. Those learn.
He's trying to be nice, Justin. He's trying to, like, you know, give me a little positive reinforcement. He's not saying it's perfect. There's some polishing that needs to be done. Absolutely. But don't crush my dreams just yet.
No.
I feel you.
Georgia's got a good educational system. Those learning houses are paying off.
No adult left behind, let me tell you.
All right. Well, movie news, big stuff that came out. Richard Donner is guaranteeing on video. What an idiot.
Would we get our money back if it doesn't happen?
He's guaranteeing a Goonies 2. Why?
Why not? Goonies is great.
Do you want to see Sean, Fat Hobbit, running around at 45 years old?
Is he saying it's going to be the same actors? He's not going to...
Yes. He wants to bring them back, is what he's saying.
Like, so him and...
Now, I don't know if that means they're going to help nurture a bunch of little kids into finding little Willie, One-Eyed Willie, which sounds so pornographic when you watch that movie now. You're like a bunch of little kids looking for One-Eyed Willie.
Oh my God, I never thought
you just ruined my childhood, man.
That film.
Think about it.
Jeez, now I can never watch it again.
What about the you Booty asshole. Traps kid? Is he going to be in it too? Like what?
Yeah, Data, they're all still alive. They all look awful. Yeah.
I think he was one of those... one of those guys in Captain America 2, the behind the scenes people.
Who was Data, whatever. It's all dependent.
I'm saying he's as old as that guy as one of the council people.
Oh, nice.
like he's that age at this point.
Well, do you guys want to see?
He was 42 when he filmed that. I'm just saying he was short.
Short.
He's a very mature actor.
Oh man, Brian's hitting it.
I'm telling you. Now, do you guys want to see this? Do you want to see another Goonies movie?
No.
Scott does. I want to know. Yeah. I want to hear Scott's point of view. Why? Why do you want to see another one?
I just have a lot of nostalgia for the first one. It'd be kind of cool to see. I mean, I like seeing getting back together, reuniting old cast.
Reunions? Is that the word you're looking
Reunion,
for?
Reunion, thank you. I think it'd
all
be
right,
cool.
So go to like Comic-Con or South by Southwest or something and see them on a stage. That's... Or looking at Entertainment Weekly or something. That's about all I've got.
No, none of them are in Entertainment Weekly. No, maybe Josh Brolin. That's about it.
Well, they did. I mean, it's like a photo spread of Princess Bride. You know, their cast got together after, 25 years or whatever it was.
That was pretty cool.
They
have a little picture.
They could do something like that. But I don't need an hour and a half to 2 hour movie of them following their kids' adventures or something like that. You know, really? No, you... I know what it's like when I was your age. Go hunt for two-eyed wildebeest or something. I don't know, whatever.
Two-eyed wildebeest.
It just kind of occurred to me that as much as we love Goonies, if Richard Donner can do another film that creates the same kind of love and adoration that we have for the first Goonies into a second film that maybe kids of today could get that same feeling from... Then why not? I mean, don't make it for me. Make it for my niece and my nephew. And then I'm all good with it. And there's your sensitive moment.
Jesus.
Well, we know there's more of that coming. But
I
think that window, that is a, you know, it's like kind of like me going up to take a pitch in a Major League Baseball game. Yeah, there's a chance I could hit it out of the park. The odds are mighty slim.
Both of you have the most abstract points of view I could possibly imagine.
I'm saying do it for the children.
Yeah, I get it. You and Scott are both on the do something happy. But you know what it'd end up being? It'd be a bunch of kids stuck in their house playing video games or something. Their parents, the Goonies, get them out for an adventure. That would be what the movie would end up being. I don't know.
I hope they don't call you to write it because that's not what I would want to see.
That's what somebody's going to come up with, and then one of the Goonies will literally say die and have a heart attack on set, and then the whole movie's over. Your childhood is ruined.
Joe Pantoliano going to come back for revenge or something?
Isn't he? Is he alive?
Joey
Pants, is he alive?
Oh, yes. He's waiting for another Matrix movie where he can come back.
Oh,
eat more steak.
We're all waiting on that one. All right.
Some of us.
Give it 2 years. It'll be here before you know it.
I want to personally thank, and we're not going to say your last name because you didn't give us the okay to, so I'm not going to do that. But Jim S., we want to thank you for your generous donation. We do pride ourselves on not being one of those shows that begs for donations and that sort of thing. But it is nice when people do. Helps pay the show's bills. So thank you very much. That's very nice.
Sincerely, I got that email, and I was just bowled over that someone did that for us. So thanks a lot, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You're making my Ferrari payment this month, so thanks.
I wept.
You wept?
I wept and then told Aaron, keep my portion.
Oh, I think you told me to keep it just so you could say that you told me to keep it.
That's right. There you go.
And then his next email was like, where's my money, bitch?
Oh, well, it is Share Home Month. So if you could share the podcast on... What are you laughing about?
Share a
hoe. Share a hoe. It's catchy. Hashtag share a hoe. Go and... it's funny when you think about it.
Just be gentle when you share me.
Exactly. Only share us with your friends. We don't be share with strangers. Just kidding.
Share us where you been.
Share us with everybody. Pimp us out. Whore us out. I don't care. iTunes, Stitcher. Share us on your Facebook, Twitter.
what?
Oh, try this again.
Just make sure you wear rubber when you hashtag.
Yeah. Safe
on
sharing.
My fingers.
Safe sharing, people. That's what we do here. Share us on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever it is you use. And also, if you use iTunes, please give us a review. That really helps the show out. We appreciate it. Justin, they confirmed that Star Wars Episode 7 is actually already filming. Do you feel excited or betrayed a little bit?
Why would I feel betrayed?
Because they did it without telling you. You didn't get a phone call.
Well, as self-important as I make myself out to be, it does have limits. And when filming starts on episode 7 is past that limit. They're okay in my book. I what I did is I emailed JJ and I said, listen, you can start whenever you want. Don't call me.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him permission ahead of time.
So what confirmations do we have for sure now as far as casting?
We know that Chewbacca's going to be in it. Does that count as casting? Peter
Mayhew.
He's in it.
Yeah. The one guy whose face we'll never see.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's playing Chewbacca.
Why? It's like the easiest job in the world. He just stands
there. Well, because from what I understood, you know, because people who are generally that tall suffer from bone issues and back issues, it was kind of my understanding that he wasn't as healthy now as he had been back 20 years ago when he played this role. So I didn't think he was physically capable of playing that role.
That's a good that's a good point.
Did he play Chewbacca in the prequels?
I don't know about the prequels, but he did in the original movies.
Well, yeah.
Did anybody act in the actual prequels? I think they were just CGI'd. That's what I'm pretty sure it was. Except Natalie Portman, because she's Natalie Portman.
And you can't CGI those acting skills.
All right. Well, The Karate Kid is going forward with a sequel. Thank the Lord. I'm sorry. Kung Fu Kid is what it should have been called. And Jackie Chan and Jaden, I am an actor, Smith, are attached. I get that the original movie was a box office hit. So before anybody writes in, I understand the economics of it. But when a movie has almost no one clamoring for a sequel, why do they bother?
This is like the best way I can relate to being prison raped. Because I just feel like this kid is just being forced on me against my will. I don't understand it other than the fact that his dad's one of the most bankable actors in Hollywood. And, you know, I respect the fact of nepotism. Yeah, a lot of people bitch about it. I mean, I respect it. But, and I guess, you know, somebody's going to see this thing. But I don't know. It blows my mind. After Earth was horrible. He's a horrible actor. Not saying he won't be a better actor at some point down the line, but I just can't even put this into words how horrible this is.
Yeah. I don't know how to top that speech because serious question though. Why do they have this sequel coming? I mean, I realize that it made money, but I don't know anybody that's asking for it.
Well, as much as we don't like Jaden, and he gets a lot of flack from reviewers and critics like us, no matter how terrible he is, his last name is is bankable. I mean, he's riding on the coattails or curtails, whichever one you just decided, of his dad, and people still like his dad enough to go see his kid in a movie. I mean,
sorry, not Scott, real quick. Didn't he play Will Smith's son in that one where they were homeless and he gets to?
Yeah. Pursuit of
Happiness. He got like pretty good accolades for that role.
In that.
Yeah, he was. He's gone the opposite route of his dad. He's becoming a worse actor as he's gotten older.
So my quick theory is that it's more equity at this point. He's got a little, when you factor in the name, the accolades he got early, you know, okay, you know, Kung Fu Kid, Karate Kid, money-wise, it did well, although everybody I've ever read or talked to hated it or just absolutely doesn't want a second one.
Right, right. Most people I know were indifferent.
I don't know. Maybe this is like kind of like his M. Night Shyamalan time where, okay, After Earth, it was horrible. We'll give him another couple chances, and then maybe he'll start hopefully fading away.
We got to also remember, too, as much as we all don't like Jaden Smith, it does also have Jackie Chan in it, and people like to go see Jackie Chan do martial arts in movies still.
Can't they find a new kid? Like, one that's actually a kid? Because isn't he a grown-ass man now?
Well, didn't the third Karate Kid have Kristen... What was her name?
No, it was...
That was the fourth.
$1 million Baby.
Yeah, what's her name?
Hillary
Swank. Right, yeah, Hillary Swank in the fourth one. Okay.
Yeah, they wanted to show that women can be karate heroes, too.
They can.
They can, but they should have shown it in a better movie.
And not called it Karate Kid.
And not called it Karate Kid, yeah.
And hire Gina Carano, is it?
Oh, that. Now I want to see it. Make Karate Kid 2 and put Gina Carano in it with Jackie Chan. That's a good movie.
Yeah, because she's a kid.
She should play the evil dojo master.
Ooh. No, we'll put Gina Carano in it and make the RZA her master.
Man,
oh, shit.
Punch you in the face.
Take right my now. Monies, please.
I will punch.
Take them all.
If you put RZA and Jaden Smith in the same movie, the film would literally stop in the theater. Like, the theater would stop showing it, and they would close up shop. That's how bad the acting would be.
The projector would say, no.
Exactly. No. I'm not going to do it. No.
I'm surprised you guys aren't more excited about a movie where he gets a crap beat out of him.
Because he's going to win in the end, and we already know he's a winner.
And he's not really getting hit, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
If that was part of the challenge, then I'd be all for it.
If he was taking a kendo stick to the face, I will pay good money for that.
Folks, let's remember, this is a child.
No, he is not. He's almost a man now.
That's why I didn't say a real sword. It was a kendo stick is made of wood.
Oh, you want bamboo?
Yeah.
It's okay to smack him around with a bamboo stick. I gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it leaves a mark. Don't get me wrong.
Brian worked for the Georgia DCFS for a time. All right, well, how about actors we actually would like to see working together again? Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are reuniting for a movie called The Nest, and it's about two sisters who spend a weekend, one last weekend in their parents' home. I want to know, what other actors would you guys like to see reunited? Because those two people have been wanting to see them film again together for a while.
Yeah, and rightly so. I mean, the two of them, you could almost buy them as being sisters in real life.
They seem that close, yeah.
They do. I mean, and even though they look nothing alike, but I could...
Yeah, same sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. As far as actors I'd like to see bring back together, my first inclination was Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, but that's obviously already happening this year, so with them number two. First one that came to mind for me was, as much as the movie wasn't that great, but Paul Rudd and Sean William Scott in Role Models.
Yeah, they were really funny together.
I thought they played off each other really well with like the two opposite kind of thing. I'd like to see them. And then Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph from Bridesmaids. They transitioned perfectly from Saturday Night Live, just like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did. I mean, you watch the two of them on screen, you can tell they're friends in real life. I mean, they just basically transitioned that from their personal life. I'm assuming they're friends. They pull it off very well, if they're not.
I hope so. Yeah.
But those are two ahead. What about you guys?
I really want to see Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner in a movie again. Not 3,000 Miles to Graceland, because that was an awful movie. But I always thought these are two of the coolest guys in Hollywood. If they had a movie that didn't suck, this would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you with Kurt Russell, but I got to say with Stallone.
Ooh, Tango and Cash 2, the later years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms, I thought, had some pretty good chemistry in the Hangover movies. And I think they're both really funny actors. I wouldn't mind seeing them do something. Just don't bring Zach into it again. Just make it something new.
Isn't he?
How about Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter?
Oh, Bill and Ted?
Just throw it out.
I would go see that.
Well, you know you would. I don't know, man. Aren't they a little old to have those kind of hijinks?
No. Just shut your mouth.
They could be grown adults that probably smoke weed too much.
They could still wild stallion.
I think I think Alex Winter is directing now.
Yeah.
I think he's done some movies and some some TV series.
I would actually see that. I would like to see them. They were a fun duo. They were a fun little duo. They were cute. Not anymore. I mean, he looks the same. So really, you got to see what Alex Winter looks like. He looks like he's 65, and Keanu looks like he's 30 because he's just like Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he's changed like, Sean Patrick Flannery, then I'll pass on that. But
Leatherface?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's like the Marlboro Man now. He was a good-looking dude. I remember everybody, it was Sean Patrick Flannery. Sexy. Not anymore. Although I would like to see another Boondock Saints movie, so I'll reunite those two. No?
No.
Why? You really didn't like the second
one? No, that second one was horrible.
It was not.
I didn't like the second one either.
It was okay. It was...
No.
Yeah, you shut up.
If your argument was that it was okay, then that means it was atrocious.
What about Battlestar Galactica? Let's go back.
Fantastic series, the second one.
It was a cheesy series in the 80s. Then it got rebooted into a frackingly different show. Was it like a decade ago? 2008, I think, is when it started, if I remember right. And now they're going to reboot it again into a movie form. Are there any other ways that they can tell this story? It's not that deep of a story.
Well, it's not that deep. And that's one of the things that really irks me about this whole rebooting thing. Hollywood has just got stuck in their bag of tricks now that they're constantly going to. It wasn't that great of a story to begin with. What made Battlestar so good for me, the second series, I was never a big fan of the first one. I think I was a little too young to really appreciate what they were doing there. And now that I'm older, I have a hard time looking at shows of that age and getting past a lot of the special effects and sets. But, you know, it's not what made it so great were the actors and the stories that they were telling for that time. You don't have to go back and create a new sci-fi series or a movie and then call it Battlestar Galactica. You can call it whatever you want. It does, and you can call it whatever you want, and then you can pull in elements from Battlestar Galactica, because God knows science fiction movies have no qualms with pulling in tropes and cliches from previous science fiction films. So I don't get it. But if you guys will remember, this actually started back in February of 2009 when Bryan Singer signed on to direct a reboot of it, but then he had to back off because he was obliged to direct Jack the Giant Slayer. And then they brought in somebody to rewrite the script, and then they brought in somebody else to rewrite it. And then a couple of years ago, Singer said that it's going to exist, and he thinks it's going to sit quite well between the original Glenn Larson and then the Ron Moore universes. But since then, it had been kind of quiet until just recently when the studio hired another guy to rewrite the film yet again. So... It's already been rebooted. Okay, if you want to reboot something, all right, do. But don't reboot a reboot or a reboot of a reboot. It's fucking ridiculous. At this point, all you're doing is taking a name and trying to get some publicity or awareness from that name.
So it's like the Jaden Smith of sci-fi movies?
Basically so. Just call it something else. A fleet of ships is not unique to Battlestar. It has been done before. It will be done again. I am kind of... pun intended on you reboot, but it's just don't just
are
stop
you
it.
Worried they're going to tarnish the reputation of your one of your favorite
no,
shows?
I mean, not really. I mean, I don't worry about those kinds of things. I'm one of those people that hates it when someone says, oh, the prequels ruined my childhood and they completely ruined my memories of the original film. I think that's all bullshit. They can do whatever they want. It's not going to change my opinion or my feelings on Battlestar. I don't really give a shit what other people, how their opinions may or may not change because of this new film. To me, that's a completely nonsensical point. I'm just tired of the laziness. And this is really what that is. It is just pure fucking lazy.
I do agree with you to some extent because, you know, Hollywood just has nothing else to go to. They just feel there's less and less original material, and there's more and more reboots. But at the same token, Battlestar Galactica as a television show, I think a lot of people missed out on that because some people just don't watch TV series. Some people prefer movies. And I think it's a good, it's an interesting story, and it's interesting enough that it could be, I don't know how you would tell in a two or three hour movie, but
cliffhanger. It has to be a cliffhanger.
Well,
or you'd have to end it at the,
that's what I'm saying. If, you know, assuming there's not going to be a sequel, or assuming it's not going to be a series of movies, it's going to be just one movie, you know, cause I honestly can't imagine that this is going to do that well. I mean, after a reboot of a reboot, like Justin said, but I think putting the name Battlestar Galactica on it will get more cheeks in the seats than if they just called it something else and did a new property.
That's true. I mean, the name does sell. I mean, that's why they keep using it.
Mm-hmm. It's free publicity, like I said. It's, yeah. But I just think it's a little lazy. And, you know, to be clear, earlier when we were talking about Goonies, you know, the idea of reinventing a franchise for a new generation, I don't have that big a problem with. I mean, we've been doing it forever with, you know, the Hercules and those kinds of stories. But for something like Battlestar, they just redid it not that long ago. This isn't something that they're remaking for a new generation. They're just putting it in a different medium, a film instead of a TV show. And a story like Battlestar, the way that it exists presently, needs a TV show to really tell it, because it's not just a story about a group of people, you know, lost in a fleet trying to find a new home. There are a multitude of things involved with that. If they simplify it enough to where it would fit within a movie time, I don't know how special it would be and really how much Battlestar would there be in it.
Yeah, that's kind of my reservation too, because that show got elicited some emotional responses from me because I was so connected to those characters.
The newer one.
The newer one, correct. Mm-hmm. Not the one from the 70s, but the you can't get that attached to a character in a window of a movie. I mean,
I disagree.
I'm generalizing. But not
with the number of characters that this kind of thing might have, unless you go in there with pre-existing reasons for loving them. Like with the Avengers, it had a ton of characters, but you cared because they all kind of had their own individual one first.
Well, yes, but that the Avengers also had movies before it to build up to that. Yeah.
I really think what they could do is just have Starbuck as an action hero, and they could change the entirety of what the movie is, what the foundation is. They don't have to do the same story that was told in the most recent series, nor whatever the hell that was in the original series. They could just do, the fleet is broken off and humanity's been destroyed and Starbuck's going to save them. They could do something like that. It's really easy to make that the simplistic story.
What they need to do is they need to get a story about a barista who is accidentally put in a shuttle.
Come on.
And when he meets aliens, he decides, my name is Starbuck. And we go from there.
Yeah, he shifts the espresso machine levers in a certain way that triggers a time transport device. It shoots him in the future to the 25th century. Whoa. He gets a little robot called Twiggy. Wait.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's something else.
Yeah. I mean, that espresso machine was actually a NASA experiment that got misshipped.
Beady, beady, beady.
Beady, beady, beady.
Beady, beady, beady.
Hey.
Done. Well. And then you can get Starbucks, the actual franchise, to
tie it in
for the whole movie.
That's exactly right.
Genius. All right, guys. You can tweet us at @H_Outsider. Like us on Facebook.
Send the commission checks to
Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Leave us a message or text us at 818-81-IMAHO. That's 818-814-6246. Or email us at feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Now let's review. We've got two reviews, and the biggest one is Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Now, before we get into it, there is a review. Justin wrote a review, very nice review. It's on the site, so you can check that out if you want a detailed review. We also did a Inside the Movie edition of our show where we talked just about Captain America, which I talked about at the beginning of the show. You can go to the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. It's there. You can listen to it. But Brian, tell us about Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, this plot is not as deep as I was hoping it would be. But basically, we got Captain America / Steve Rogers is struggling to... He's basically embracing the fact that he's realizing that he's a pawn of the government and / S.H.I.E.L.D. Stumbles across some questionable things, and he's also fighting this new super soldier guy called the Winter Soldier, who's apparently from the Soviet regime, so...
It's hard to talk about the movie without actually spoiling something, isn't it?
It really is. Although, from my personal perspective, pretty much seen the whole movie in the trailer. take, and that's whether it's story, whether it's action, whether it's character development, you name it. I was not very surprised. I had a fantastic time with this, but what did you think about the story itself as far as this goes?
I do agree that the trailers, I think, told a bit more than they needed to tell, but there were, for me anyway, there were a lot of elements of that story that I didn't think the trailers spoiled and that I didn't see coming either. And to say what those things were would be to spoil it, so I can't say what they were. But there were definitely character interactions that surprised me. I was surprised too by how much I enjoyed certain aspects of the movie, like Falcon, that I wasn't sure going into it how much I might like this character or the implementation of this character. And by the end of it, I was definitely standing up, saluting, shooting off fireworks, whatever you want to call it. I adored this film from beginning to end, and I was surprised at how good of a thriller it was. Fantastic action, but I was shocked at just how good the thriller, political thriller aspects of it, the spy aspects that I liked.
Were you watching the same movie that I was?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed all of it. There were some betrayals that I didn't see personally coming. And we talk a lot about this in the Captain America spoiler cast that we did, where I address specific issues that I, or characters and arcs that I didn't see coming. So I, you know, if you want to put me in the naive camp, then that's okay. But there are things about this that I didn't see coming. If you did, you're just a smarter, more discerning fellow than I am.
No, there's a lot of people raving about it, but I just was in the same boat. It's hard to talk about the story, and guys, you know, I hope you guys that are listening realize we're just trying to dance around the spoilers, because it is one of those things where I am on the same boat as Brian. I saw most of the movie coming, but that doesn't mean anything else, because several people that I was with didn't see some of the things coming. So,
and for the record, we watch a lot of movies, and most movies we pretty much have got the ending figured out within the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just kind of want to throw that out there.
It's not, but I do have one question, and please, people that have listened to the spoiler cast know exactly what I'm talking about. But the one incident that I had where I had an issue with the plot overall, which if you don't know, please go listen to it. I'm not going to say what it is, but how did you feel about that one particular point?
Yeah,
because if you listen to the podcast, Justin basically attacks me and tells me I do a very unscientific polling process and that I am literally the only person on the planet that believes that theory.
All right. Well, there is a critical plot point where there is some personnel changes.
Okay. That's enough. You don't have to say anything else.
Okay. All right. Yep. That has been done a minimum of two times already. And it is not only lazy, but coming from the company that is I think they pretty much invented imagination. This is such a unimaginative thing that I was very unpleased that they used it. Not only is it way overdone in the movie industry, it's been way overdone in this Marvel family in the last couple of years.
If you know what we're talking about, if you know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. And I don't want to, we'll move on, but I just wanted to point out that Justin, apparently there's more than one, just letting you know. And actually, my buddy Tyler said the same thing when he saw it. So that's three. That's my scientific polling process. The three people I've asked besides you have all agreed that it's a problem. But go ahead, Scott.
Fantastic. I had a question because I'm the only one in the group that hasn't seen the film yet. But going into it, one of the reservations you have, and forgive me if you've talked about this in the spoiler cast, but I'm not going to listen to that until I see the movie.
Good call.
But one of the reservations you had going into it was, you know, the original film took place, you know, during the long time ago, and now is.
Are you talking to me personally?
Yes, personally. How did you like that transition with the story?
I had talked before, and I keep forgetting that some people haven't listened to this spoiler cast, so they don't know. I have talked many times about Captain America 1. I love the setting of the movie because it's the one movie in the Marvel 9, so to speak, you know, the 9 Marvel studio movies.
Nine.
Sounds like a super villain group.
Yeah, but it's the one movie that's different to me. It's the only one of them that stands out because it's in a different time. It takes place during World War II. To me, it has a hell of a lot more heart than any other Marvel movie. because of the relationship with Cap and coming, he's a weak man. He becomes strong. He's a true hero before he became a hero. His relationship with Peggy, all that stuff, to me, there's a lot more heart in it. And I love that setting because it's different. I see the other movies. They all seem like they're in the same place. His seems different. So I just liked it. I was hesitant about updating it to current day. I think they did a really good job. The movie's really fun. Even though some of it's predictable, it's still a really fun movie. It's just one of those things that there's been so much hype about the movie. It almost feels like you have to point that out so people can lower their expectations just a hair. I don't see how it can be better than the Avengers. I don't understand that. But if someone feels that way, then so be it. But in terms of Cap 1, I like Cap 1 better just because I thought it had more heart. The setting, yeah, I really wish it. I still wish it would have been World War II. I really do. But that's just me personally. I realize everybody else feels different. So I'm obviously in the minority.
I know for a fact I'm in the minority in this. But this is the first time that I actually bought into Chris Evans being Steve Rogers / Captain America.
Yeah, you are alone. Yeah.
The first Captain America, I didn't care for him. It's not that I saw him as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. It wasn't that. There was a certain size and yes. mass.
Yeah, I hear you.
And just almost military bearing that Steve Rogers has in the comic books that Chris Evans did not bring in Captain America nor the Avengers. He brought that in the first 20 seconds of this movie. And that honestly, that first opening scene and shortly thereafter, all I could think was, oh my God, this is the Captain America that I've been waiting for.
Obviously we can all agree on Chris Evans at this point. What did you feel about the Falcon? How did you like him as an additive to this world? Anthony Mackie is the actor.
Yeah, I thought he was great. As far as sidekicks go and everything in this Marvel kind of universe, I think he's the best so far. He is more of a sidekick / kind of a partner type guy. I thought I felt like he kind of carried his own weight, and he even acknowledges the fact that I'm not you, man.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? And Scarlett Johansson, she finally gets a little bit more screen time as Black Widow. I think a lot of people are really happy about that. I thought this is her best performance in that role to date. Even this includes Avengers. I think she's better here because she has more of a relationship with Cap. She's definitely more of a character. We get a little bit more of her background. Not much, but a little bit. And I just like that she became like a character in this one as opposed to the caricature I thought she was before.
I'm still not sold on Scarlett Johansson. I just think she's too recognizable of a person. And I'm not quite there with her character as the Black Widow as I am with Chris Evans as Captain America, but I'm getting closer. Okay. And I think her character would be much more interesting if she was almost like Loki where, because there's times Loki's like the flip side of her where he's primarily bad. She's primarily good, but she's bad enough to where you question her. And Loki is, he does things just good enough to where you
keep rooting for him.
You keep rooting for him. You keep hoping he does certain things. So I guess that's probably why their dynamic works in the Avengers movie pretty well. So I don't know.
And you've got Sam Jackson as Nick Fury, which we all know he's awesome. I mean, that goes without saying.
Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
Exactly. And Robert Redford. Who was surprised by Robert Redford and as well as he did in this movie? Or did you think he didn't do very well?
I was surprised he was good. He's always good.
Yeah. He's Robert Redford.
Ugh. Robert motherfucking Redford.
There you go.
Okay. Well, moving on. Let's wrap her up. The Russos. What about the Russos? Now, these guys are the ones that directed it. They took over from Joe Johnson, who I thought did a wonderful job in the first movie, even though Brian apparently saw a different movie than I did. But do you think they brought something unique to the Marvel Universe or...
I think, given their primarily a TV past, I was shocked. I mean, just gobstoppered shocked at how smooth and clean and lean this movie is. It's a little over 2 hours, but for me, there's not a wasted moment in this movie. It is constantly moving forward with a, racing cars speed. It's amazing how good it is in the action scenes. took my breath away. And I don't know if other directors would have done it. Sometimes there's just a weird alchemy chemistry that people can bring to a film that suddenly elevates it far above and beyond what you really thought it could be. And for them, maybe that's what it was, but it's fantastic. It looks so good.
The one thing I like most about how they did their action, there is some quick action cuts I didn't like, but overall the action's great. But they incorporated real stunts, real mm-hmm. cars. It wasn't all CGI. It wasn't all in the air. I mean, that's the one thing about Captain America is he's always grounded. You know, he can't fly. There's a lot of things he can't do. So whenever they have an action scene, you know, the fact that he's on the ground and he's just being Cap and he's kicking ass and Nick Fury's got a great car chase. There's a lot of cool effects in this movie that are I don't think you would see in a different kind of superhero movie that mm-hmm. you would only see here. And they capture that beautifully. And the fact that they brought a real world into this fantasy world, I really like that aspect of it.
And one of the things that they did, I think, and this is honestly, and to be kind of quite objective about this, is probably the one time that they could really showcase it was one of the things that, from the comic book, you know, reader perspective, Cap would always, he would ricochet that shield and knock out three or four guys and catch it. And they did that more in this movie than he has in the Avengers or the first one.
I didn't think a shield would actually come back like that, but hey, whatever he's got going on, I'm telling you, magnetic gloves.
He could put some definite English on that thing when he gives it a good throw. It's like bullet curving time at this point.
Look, and I know that this is just kind of off the hip and stuff, but we haven't even really mentioned him at all, and he's a pretty big character. But what did y'all think about the Winter Soldier? Did you think he was even almost relevant?
Oh, I loved him. I thought he was fantastic in the spoiler cast. I kind of call him the Darth Vader of this movie. He's not the real big bad guy, but he's the personification of the villain in this film. And I thought, you know, I said that, you know, you put the right guy in the right costume and just have him stand there and you're halfway home. And him in that outfit was spectacular. And luckily he's got the moves that they trained him for to back it up. I thought he was a fantastic foil for Captain America.
I loved him. I don't think he's in the movie enough to warrant actually getting the title.
Thank you.
You know, he's only got about 15 or 20 minutes of screen time. He did a great job, yes, but he's really a minor plot point.
He was the person that if you were to ask someone after they saw the movie, who was a villain in that? I would have to assume 9 out of 10 people would say the Winter Soldier was a villain because he was a guy in the fight. He was a dude with the badass arm. He was a guy that Captain America really had to come to grips with because this is an element of his past now kind of coming back.
Again, I know the majority of things I've got to say is about this is negative, but just like Aaron, I just feel like it's my duty as a realist, somebody's got to deflate this balloon a little bit, man. I'm sorry. There is so much hype out there that it is absolutely ridiculous. It is unwarranted. This is a very, very fun movie. And I really want to stress that. This is a very fun movie, very enjoyable. It's been worth the wait, but it ain't as good as Avengers. I'm mm-mm, sorry. Mm-mm. All that being said, all that, the good, the bad, all that stuff taken into account, I've got to give this about I'm going to round up to an 8.5.
Yeah, if $10 is the full price of admission, I give it an 8.5 as well.
As people who've read my review know, I gave this movie a fucking perfect 10. And I urge everybody to go out and see this soon. And especially if you're a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because they probably already spoiled it for you.
I know you guys are probably sick of hearing about Captain America at this point. But I also saw another movie, like a smaller movie, not a comic book movie. It's called Joe. And Joe, seriously, stop. Whenever I talk about anything, you get in there and you make noises and shit. Shut it.
It's about you. It's not about the movie you're talking about. It's just our disdain for you.
Yes.
Shut your hole. All right. Well, Joe stars Nicolas Cage, and he plays Joe. He's a local lumber foreman who employs the downtrodden in his area. And he's a very decent, very generous guy, but he's flawed. He drinks too much. He screws too much. He's basically me. But he also has a temper that just explodes out of nowhere. I mean, just and I mean literally out of nowhere. He just explodes.
He ends like up, you.
Very, that's true. He ends up hiring this 15-year-old kid, Gary, who's played by Ty Sheridan, is the same kid from Mud. And he's the kid is just trying to make a buck because his abusive father, Wade, keeps stealing every dollar he makes. Like, every time he gets money, his dad beats the shit out of him and takes it. When he gets a little too close to Gary, he sees how abusive Wade is. And then Joe, basically, the rest of the movie is him deciding how much humanity he has left and how involved he wants to get in this because he realized this could be the downfall of him. So we talked about the trailer a couple months ago, and I am here to tell you, this is the best I have seen Nicolas Cage in years. Years. I wish I could stress that even more, because the fact that this man has done the movies he's done the last few years and still gets to act in movies like this surprises me. Ghost Rider 2, I'm sorry, I don't know, what were you thinking? And then every other movie you made in the last 5 years pretty much sucked. So the fact that I walked into this and did not expect even this good a performance just shocked me. The way he plays Joe, it could be anybody you know. He never comes across as this raging alcoholic. He just comes across as a guy who drinks too much, you know, like Scott or Brian. When he loses his temper, unlike most movies, you know, you see it coming or it comes at a very beneficial point or the least opportune moment. His anger fits come out of nowhere. They could be at any moment, and it's usually a situation where you can't even rationalize why he's losing his temper. To me, that's a true sign of someone who actually can't control their temper, when they lose it for no reason, not just because someone's pushed, oh, you pushed me too far and I have to revolt or react or whatever the situation is. He just loses his temper because that's just who he is. Ty Sheridan as Gary is a gifted young actor. I really like this kid. But the biggest surprise in the movie is Gary Poulter, who plays Wade, the abusive father. Poulter was a homeless man that director David Gordon Green found at a bus stop and cast him in the movie. And he also died last year. It's a sad story. But he also got to be in a movie as a homeless guy. He was cast in a third lead of a movie and did a great job. It's just a really impressive role for the guy. And I really wish he could have lived to see himself.
Love that story.
Yeah, it's so sweet. Joe is easily one of the biggest surprises for me at South by Southwest. And if $10 is the full price of admission, it's worth $8. If you can find it, I highly recommend it. It's going to be one of those art house releases, but definitely check it out. Box office. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, it got $95 million. There you go. Noah dropped 61%. It's drowning a little bit. $17 million. It's got $72 million in the bank. I'm not even going to continue with the rest of them. I'm just going to tell you that worldwide, Winter Soldier has got $300 million. And they're saying that the Marvel Universe now is the biggest franchise of all time because of the 9 Marvel movies with $2.4 billion. And I just want to say, how is that technically a franchise when there are several different franchises connected by one movie?
No, they're all Avengers.
They might
movies.
Have little clips and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah, but there's a thread that connects all of them, and that's what makes them a franchise.
That's a pretty loose interpretation
of
a franchise.
Look, it's a 30-second to a one-minute thread at the end of every movie, but they are all connected, and they all reference each other. So
they all take place in the same universe?
Same storyline.
They're all about the Avengers in some shape, form, or fashion. This is an Avengers franchise.
So every DC movie should count, too?
If it's a Justice League movie series that they're doing that occasionally breaks off into
we're
individual
creating,
films, like, absolutely.
Creating rules.
Think
here.
Of it like a 12-part miniseries comic book that each, like, let's say there's three groups. You got the Avengers, you got the X-Men, and Fantastic Four. Forget all movie rights and everything, all that blah blah blah. All right, now you've got a 12-part miniseries that involves those three superhero teams, and they all have their spinoffs on from each comic book series. So you got the fantastic freaking mutant extermination event going on.
Okay.
For those 12 issues, but you've got X-Men issues that tie into that. You've got Fantastic Four issues that tie into that, and you got Avengers issues that tie into that. That's what this is.
Okay. Well, whatever. I don't buy that, but that's cool if you guys do.
You're an idiot.
Pretty loose interpretation. I think you're a fanboy, and you guys are looking for a way to make it count, but it doesn't count. It doesn't count.
It does, too.
It doesn't count.
It does count.
It counts if you work for Marvel, which you guys apparently do.
Folks, we've got 4 films to talk about today. One of them opens up on April 16th. The other 3, April 18th. The April 16th release is Heaven is for real. Mm-hmm. Directed by Randall Wallace, starring Greg Kinnear, Kelly Rainier, and Connor Corum. It's about a small-town father must find the courage and conviction to share his son's extraordinary, life-changing experience with the world. Ugh. I'm just worn out just listening to that. Aaron, apparently, you know, you're the parent amongst us. You feel the love of children, so please, well, we don't want to discuss all the love of children you feel, but what is your thoughts on this? Do you have a lot of desire to see Heaven is for Real?
I mean, it looks okay. I don't know. It's not something that I'm going to run out and see in a theater, but it doesn't look as ugh as you like to proclaim it. You know, there are other movies that aren't just zipping around in the skies.
Ugh.
And it looks interesting. It looks sweet, but I don't want to pay full price for it.
I feel the same way. The movie looks like it's trying really hard to make you cry.
Really hard.
Mm-hmm. And I almost want to say I'm not interested at all, but I really like Greg Kinnear.
I do, yeah. I like Greg Kinnear.
And I haven't seen him in something in a while, and I almost want to see this movie just to see him.
He's on a TV show called Rake, and it's not good.
Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's one of those. I know what's going to happen. I know it's gonna try too hard to make me feel a certain way. And like you said, I don't want to see it in the theater, but might check it on video or something someday.
Greg Kinnear had a promising career for
Once
a while.
Upon a time.
It's. I don't know. It looks like some sort of Lifetime Hallmark movie.
Thank you.
Whatever. What's the next one?
All right. Moving on from Heaven is for Reals. We have got Haunted House 2, directed by Michael Tides, written by Marlon Wayans and Rick Alvarez and a couple of people I never heard of. This one stars Marlon Wayans, Jamie Presley, Cedric the Entertainer. It's a follow-up to, of course, first Haunted House. Having exorcised the demons of his ex, Malcolm is starting fresh with his new girlfriend and her two children. After moving into their dream home, however, Malcolm is once again plagued by bizarre paranormal events. Scotty, we here on the Hollywood Outsiders have not been huge fans of these sorts of films. Does this one look like it's going to change you any?
No, this one looks worse than the first one. And I didn't even see the first one.
The first one was actually funny, though.
Was it?
Watch it on Netflix, people. It's actually dumb fun. Very dumb, very fun.
I don't know. I love the original Scary Movie when it was a fresh idea.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can't argue with it.
Fresh idea that was stolen many times over, but go ahead.
Well, to me, it was a fresh idea. I mean, it's a spoof comedy.
It's probably the first movie your mom let you watch.
Yeah. But... to me, that was funny. It was taking the tropes of several different movies and putting it into one. Like, I think Not Another Teen Movie might have done it before that even. But
what was your favorite part of the first Scary Movie, the penis through the door? Just ask it. Honest question. You're hesitating. I don't like it.
The trailer was painful to watch to me. I just have no desire whatsoever to see it. No.
All right.
No.
I want to see it. I was surprised by the first one because I poo-pooed the trailer for the first movie, refused to see it in the theater, and then I caught it on Netflix. I'm like, wow, that is actually somewhat funny. There's a lot of laugh-out-loud moments. The trailer actually made me giggle. I don't know if I'd pay for it full price. It's probably I would watch it on Netflix, but I still kind of want to see it.
Yeah, so what's the next one?
I got to tell you, when I saw the first trailer for this one, I actually embarrassingly enough laughed out loud, and I've laughed at the trailer every time since then. I didn't see the first one. Now I'm kind of compelled to do so because I do actually want to see this one. Let's move on, shall we? All right, next up, Bears. Now, this is a documentary that follows an Alaskan bear family as its young cubs are taught life's most important lessons. It stars John C. Reilly as the narrator. So, no, these ain't bears walking where they got human voices and other bullshit. It is an actual call back to Disney's old ones of their little nature documentaries.
Did you say John C. Reilly is the narrator?
He is the narrator.
I can't picture that voice telling me a story.
Brian, as a bear yourself, though of a different sort,
what
do you think of this film?
Look, don't judge me for my weekend activities, all right?
I'm trying not to.
All right. I love these types of things. Most of them are really well done. They usually involve, and I'll be straight up here, a little bit of tears falling because you get attached to some little cub that gets left behind or a lion or whatever, and they don't make it. And sorry, I'm an animal lover. That gets to me, and I don't like that shit. So
I would watch 100 children get gunned down without a tear, but one bear? No!
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely.
We'll never understand that.
It's funny you mention that, because just today, one of the guys at work mentioned, hey, some kid ran around a high school in Pennsylvania stabbing, you know, a bunch of other kids. There's like 20 kids stabbed. I'm like, huh. All right. Well, that's, you know, how, and just went into some analytical thing about how it probably happened. 2 minutes later, he mentions, oh, hey, did you guys hear that the Ultimate Warrior died? And I screamed, no.
Your priorities are a little off, is what you're saying.
Slightly.
Yeah. I think it looks wonderful. Honestly, I'm a sucker for these kind of movies, too. I love nature movies, especially if they're well done. But, man, John C. Reilly is about the only... I was sold until you told me that. Now I'm picturing Step Brothers through the whole freaking documentary.
Why in the hell would I pay $10 to go see something I can watch on the Discovery Channel?
I don't know. Why do you hate animals?
I don't hate animals, but I just...
Don't you want to take your child to a theater so they can watch these bears on a big, glorious screen?
No. And I've made this point before. There are not any better movies cinematically shot better than a nature movie or a space movie.
That's true.
I guess it's kind of the same thing.
In IMAX, but they look gorgeous.
Planet Earth? Jesus Christ, that's beautiful.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. Why? I mean, I don't know why I'm... Yeah, I'm sure it's a dollars issue. I mean, I'm not that naive. But if they're doing TV shows that are filmed in this quality, why can't they, you know, for to sit out? And how much film are they wasting sitting out for days,
just watching them?
Just filming in a mountain ridge in BF Canadian Rockies whenever, you know, while they could be filming actually pretty people doing really cool shit.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, well, what'd you do today? I watched a bear shit for 4 hours.
Hey, hold on. We interrupted Scotty shitting on this movie. Scotty, continue.
No, I was done. I just.
Okay.
I don't hate animals like Aaron.
It was a joke.
So eloquently.
Sensitivity training. Take it.
But loves kids. Hates animals. All right.
I don't hate animals. I don't understand the love for animals over
Michael
humans.
Michael Vick, how are you doing, man?
You don't understand the love for animals. What was your? I'm trying to hear you, but they keep making fun of you.
I don't understand the love for animals over humans.
I don't think it's so much that. It's just, you know, every day.
No. I go watch movies with friends, and people are being murdered left and right, whatever, and somebody breaks the leg of a dog, and then suddenly everyone in the theater is like, oh.
Because I mean, humans suck and animals don't.
That's a great
Except
topic.
For sharks. Sharks suck, but the rest of the animals are okay.
Yeah, I made this before. One of the scenes that was cut out of Titanic was the unsinkable Molly Brown or whatever her name is, her Great Danes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scene where it showed her dogs floating frozen ice cubes there.
Oh, my God. I could not have stood that.
Oh my God.
And that was the reason really? People had in the screenings was that they can handle the lady or somebody holding two frozen babies. That was that was fine.
Totally fine.
But they might be like flotation devices.
Yeah.
Remember in Independence Day where they had to make sure that the dog survived? From that massive explosion in the tunnel.
Woo! Oh,
so that looked terrible, by the way. That
had to be done. Let's move on.
Scott would have rather just seen the dog burn up.
Like barbecued bones flame by the door. Here. Oh.
All right. Last up on our list is Transcendence. Now, this one is directed by Wally Pfister, who is primarily known as a cinematographer.
For sink faucets?
Yes.
Primarily known as a cinematographer and a director of photography. I know he worked extensively with Christopher Nolan during the Batman movies and Inception. This is his directorial debut, written by Jack Paglen, who's the one who's working on the reboot of Battlestar Galactica now. Stars Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, and Morgan Freeman. A terminally ill scientist uploads his mind to a computer. This grants him power beyond his wildest dreams, and soon he becomes unstoppable. Whoever wants to take this one, take it.
Did anybody think of Max Headroom when they saw this trailer?
Yep.
But But like a serious movie.
I thought of Jeff Fahey and the best thing that he ever did as a Lawnmower Man.
Yep.
I thought of the Lawnmower Man, Virtuosity, and
Johnny
Max
Mnemonic.
Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah, I thought
Johnny
of all
Mnemonic.
Those and another one that I'm not even going to mention. Hmm. So I did better.
It...
Oh. Well, I thought scramble. Of two that you that I didn't mention, so I'm thinking even better than you.
He's even ambiguously condescending. That's what's awesome about Justin.
Oh, Scott wins. Game over.
Ambiguously condescending. That should be like my name.
Even Justin has to like bow for that one.
Yeah.
I honestly called this at the beginning of the year. This is my most anticipated flop of the year. I think this movie looks horrible. I think it's a bad idea. I don't know what Johnny Depp was thinking. It's going to flop. I don't know anybody that wants to see it. I have no interest. It just looks bad.
I don't think it looks bad. I mean, especially with the pick of the other movies here, this seems the most interesting to me as far as like a sci-fi thriller, and looks like it's had some intense moments. Doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of surprises, but I think it could. I'm not exactly certain on where the story is going to end up.
I think it'll visually look stunning. Mm-hmm. The story just seems so. To borrow a Justin term. Yeah.
It works. Yeah, I'm actually really curious about Transcendence. And the only thing I hate is that I feel like the trailers really spoiled it. Because it looks like there's a lot of imagery there that would fit at the end of what I think this film is about. And I think I see how it's going even before heading into the theater. But there's still the special effects are really phenomenal looking. I do like Johnny Depp for the most part. I'll go into the theater to see this, but I do have some fears that I've seen it before in the trailer.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, of these four movies, Heaven is for Reals, A Haunted House 2, Burrs, and Transcendence, which one are you guys most likely to head out to a theater and see? Scotty?
Transcendence.
Aaron?
Bears.
Brian?
Gotta pick one. I will wait for Bears on cable, so I'll probably go watch Lawnmower Man 3.
There you go. Transcendence is also my pick. So
I love that none of us can say the word bears by itself without going bears.
Bears.
The bears.
The bears. You can listen and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do. And if you listen on iTunes, give us a review. That would be great. Remember, it's Share a Hole Month. Through our RSS feed on thehollywoodoutsider.com. There's a new episode every Thursday.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggest a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And next week we'll give you a proper ho shout out. Last week's answer was listener Jared Reyes's pick Pulp Fiction or Reese
Rice.
Or Rice. One of those. Those that got it right. Sean McGuire, Pablo Meza, John Davenport, Scott Calgaro or Garo. He threatened me if I messed up his name again. So you got it, Scotch.
And,
Scotch
Calgaro.
Hi. Thanks for listening, Scotch. I appreciate you. There, whiskey. Hey, vodka. Appreciate you the overseas downloads.
You're welcome. This week it is Brian's turn. If you think you know what it is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is such a great clip. He don't even know what it is. Here it is.
You're a dick.
I'm not going to my maker without knowing your given name. Mine ain't Wade. It's Postal Wade. Charles Travis Postlewaite. What's yours? Sure ain't boss. I mean it, boss. I'm asking you straight up.
It's Blue Bonnet.
Blue Bonnet?
Blue Bonnet, yeah.
No middle name?
No, just Blue Bonnet Spearman. And don't you tell no one.
Okay. All right, there is your clip. So if you think you know what it is, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Brian's excited to see if you can guess his clip. Let's go to the couch. We'll talk about TV and home video news. Scotty, Sci-Fi has ordered 12 episodes of a series from a movie that you love, 12 mm-hmm. Monkeys. Is that something that gets you excited?
Yeah, I think this is an awesome idea. For those that aren't familiar with this series, it's a 1995 film that Terry Gilliam put together. It stars Bruce Willis, Madeline Stowe, and Brad Pitt, and it's basically it's a post-apocalyptic movie where prisoners are sent back in time to research a virus that wiped out most living things in an attempt to thwart its devastation from ever happening.
Thwart.
Oh. Can't we use the word dystopian?
Dystopian.
Same thing.
Sure.
Well, dystopian, though.
Means... Oh, no, we don't need a lesson. We don't need a lesson.
Jesus.
Go ahead, Scott.
Here comes the linguist.
Well, it had a really interesting mind-bender of an ending, and I think that the story itself is perfect for a series because, you know, with time travel in general, you kind of have limitless possibilities, but especially with that story, I just think it's really, especially for its time, it was really clever because you had a whole bunch of, you know, anti-government, fight the man kind of things going on in the story at the same time. I think it's a really cool idea. I'm hoping I'm not alone there. What do you guys think?
No, 12 Monkeys was always one of those movies that almost seemed like it was too much story for a movie.
Yep, exactly.
And I would love to see that story, which they based loosely off of a French short film called La Jetée. I would love to see them expand that and give it room to breathe. And so maybe it'll make a little more sense.
Right.
I love the idea. I worry about the network, honestly. Outside of Battlestar Galactica, everything they do concerns me. Everything.
Did you see love Sharknado?
Couldn't this be like Monkey
NATO? And thank you for making his point.
Monkey NATO? I like that idea. Just like shit flying.
I swear to God, if that show comes out, I am suing somebody.
Oh, that! I hope it works out, man. That's a really cool concept. If you've ever seen the movie, and if you haven't seen it, you should see it. But if you haven't, definitely that's something that would be a fun series.
Or would Monkey Nami be a...
Monkey Nami?
Monkey Kane, you know?
Wow.
I just want to get those out there so that when it is stolen, we've got those on record. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Justin, you saw The Afflicted and The Den, and you want to do something creative with this, so... Have at it.
Well, you know, these are both horror films. The Den came out March 14th of this year. Afflicted actually came out the same day as Captain America, but I saw both of these via Netflix. And what these two movies have in common is that they're both found footage films, but they both do something a bit more unusual with it. With The Den, it's the story of a woman who wants to do her thesis for college, where she's living a year with her life completely online, with most of it done through something like Skype. Of course, they're all apps named differently, but you get what they're going with. And so it's a horror movie about a woman who lives her life on this Skype kind of chat roulette thing. And slowly but surely, she's drawn into this horrific, what seems to be a person who's stalking her friends and family, ultimately to kill her. And then the other film, The Afflicted, is about two young men who are going to go on a round-the-world trip because one of them has come down with an illness and may not live too much longer. So with the time he's got left, he wants to spend it traveling the world. And his friend that goes with him is a filmmaker who's got the what I loved was this vest that he wore that had a camera mount on it so that he could put a camera facing forward to see what he sees, but he's not having to hold it. Mm. And so there you finally got, why are they still holding the camera? They're
like
running
that.
For their lives.
I like that.
He's not. It's just carried with him. But The Afflicted, which if you see in the trailer, this young man who's sick ends up contracting some kind of illness that looks like it's turning into a monster of some sort. I'm not going to spoil what kind of monster it is, but I was really surprised, and I thought Afflicted was an entertaining horror film that definitely had some twists in it that I didn't see coming, and some kind of strong performances. And I loved their take on found footage. I thought The Den's take was also really good because it not only used her computer's camera for the chat roulette kind of things and Skyping, but she also used her phone's camera as well as like a GoPro type wireless camera that was strapped onto her. So it does, both of these do something a little unique with found footage, and I enjoyed them both. I would give The Afflicted a good solid 7.5, and The Den I would give it a 6.5.
Oh, all right. I'll have to check both of those out. The Den I really want to see because it seems more like a murder mystery. Am I wrong?
It kind of is, because suddenly she gets contacted by a mysterious person that begins threatening her, and then suddenly these deaths start occurring around her that lead the police to kind of wonder if she's involved. She doesn't know who's doing it, why they're doing it. But Afflicted was, I'm a more monster guy, and so it worked for me better. And there's some pretty neat looking first person parkour action in this thing.
I like it.
Where you almost felt like you're playing Mirror's Edge or something on the PlayStation, because it's all that jumping in first person view. It's really cool. I'd check it out.
All right, now let's go to DVD and Blu-ray, Scotty.
We got four releases coming out on April 15th, tax day. First one is
Go Spend Your Money.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. This is a film that I did a written review of and gave it $9 out of 10. Highly recommend it. It stars Ben Stiller as an ordinary guy who daydreams pretty much all day about doing fantastical things until he decides one day to stop dreaming and travel the world to track down a photographer for Life magazine. It also has Kristen Wiig and Sean Penn. Brian also saw it and said that he would give it a 7.50 out of 10 as well.
There you go.
Black Nativity, a streetwise teen from Baltimore who has been raised by a single mother, travels to New York City to spend the Christmas holiday with his estranged relatives, where he embarks on a surprising and inspirational journey.
I tell you, there's no better time to put out a Christmas movie than April 15th.
April 15th.
They couldn't fucking hold on to this one until it was a little more of an appropriate season.
Nothing makes you think Christmas like tax season.
Don't get that.
That's right.
Would it make more money?
Yes, it would make more money at Christmas. I have no idea what they were thinking.
Easter?
I guess they're, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, they didn't even go for
Black Easter.
They didn't even go for Black History Month. There's no reason why you would release it right now.
I don't know.
None.
Philomena, did I pronounce it correct?
Yes, and that looks fantastic.
A world-weary political journalist picks up the story of a woman's search for her son, who was taken away from her decades ago after she became pregnant and was forced to live in a convent. That was nominated for Best Picture, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think so, yes. I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, The Nut Job. This is an animated film. In incorrigibly self-serving exiled squirrel finds himself helping his former park brethren. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read this without laughing.
It's a nutty
help
description.
His former park brethren raid a nut store to survive that is also the front for a human gang's bank robbery.
It happens, man. It happens. That sounds like classic and joy all wrapped up into one. Can't wait. All right, now let's go to our From the Outside In topic, where we are talking summer 2014. It is time, people. Well, it's almost time. We're not quite there. And when we say summer, we're talking May through August. So we're going to talk about the movies we're most excited for. As always, we've got a few categories to get into, so we're just going to get into it. First up, everybody kind of wants their summer escapism to be a certain way. So what do you guys like from your summer movies?
You know, your traditional summer blockbuster, tentpole, whatever freaking thing you want to describe it as, is why I go to the movies. That's what I expect almost every time I go. And that's why I don't go see very many romantic comedies, well, pretty much comedies, period, horror movies, big major dramas, that kind of stuff, is love stories. Because there's something about seeing on that giant screen, there's something about seeing, whether it's flashing lasers, whether it's dinosaurs, monsters, robots, mutants, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as it's something that takes you to a place that you cannot go to, much less not a place that you would just probably not have a chance to travel to or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want to be blown away by environments, by action, by explosions. I want to see all the pretty special effects. I'm very shallow in that way.
You really are. Yeah.
I am. And I'm the yang to y'all's, you know, some of you guys is yin there. So that's what I expect from summer. You know, I don't get it the rest of the year. Come late April, come May, that's what I'm looking for.
I agree wholeheartedly. The spectacle of seeing things on the big screen that you can't otherwise see. Like Brian said, you can see a movie about traveling to some place on the earth that you can't otherwise visit on your own, or maybe don't have the money to, that kind of thing. But there's something about seeing, I mean, like Pacific Rim didn't come out in the summer, but something like
that did.
Oh, that's right. It was July?
Yeah, July.
July. You can't see that kind of stuff ever. Maybe in the far, far distant
future. I think
eventually
Apple will come out with robots like that.
But that and movies that just remind you of how awesome summer is, because we live in the Midwest up here, and nine months out of the year, the weather sucks here. Those three months that we've got where the weather is nice the majority of the time, there are movies that I saw in the summer that just remind me of warmer weather and it being nice out, even though you don't watch the movie outside, obviously. You're watching it in the theater, maybe in a drive-in, some mm-hmm. of them I've seen. But
okay.
I remember seeing Armageddon in a drive-in theater, and that just reminded me of – that reminds me of summer and that type of – that time of year, which is my favorite time of year, especially now that I'm a teacher. You know, it's gonna be awesome.
Touche. Touche. Vacation is what you're calling it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of a little opposite in that respect. I do like the spectacle, but I'm more interested in fun. It doesn't have to be gorgeous. There doesn't have to be great special effects. It just has to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like movies like Jaws, I know that doesn't sound like fun to some people. I think that movie is fun as hell. Indiana Jones, fun. You don't have to have a fortune in special effects to make me have fun. It just has to be a movie that is fun. And summer is generally when those movies come out. So that's when I definitely want to be in a theater. I want to smile, laugh, wish I was somewhere else. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I see the overabundance in special effects, most of the time it takes me out of it. Because usually they're so focused on making it look pretty, they don't think about the fun factor. And it can be as pretty as they want it. But if it's not fun, I could care less. What's that?
As pretty as me.
Yep, almost as pretty as you, yeah. As long as they are as fun as Justin, mm-hmm. then it's worth it.
Well, you know, unlike you two assholes, I live in Texas. And so when summer hits, it is fucking miserable. You cannot walk outside without just wanting to slit your wrists and hope that death claims you quickly because it is so oppressively hot.
Can I get an amen?
Fuck.
I lived in Texas. I loved it.
Oh, Jesus. So when I get to go into a movie theater and enjoy some, you know, some good air conditioning, exactly, a cold beverage, blow an AC, some popcorn, and a movie that for what I want, you know, we throw around the word spectacle, maybe have fun. For me, it's got to be transporting. I want something that's going to make me forget that as soon as it's over, I got to walk out into that fucking miserable hellscape that is Texas in summer. And that's, you know, and maybe Hollywood has conditioned us to be that way because this is when the kids are all out of school. It's vacation time. This is when they're going to make their big money. But summer hits. I want to go see a movie that's going to take me away like Calgon. And that's what I want. And it's pretty much what I demand.
All right. Well, before we get into the most anticipated, when you guys looked over the list of movies coming out, what was that one movie you knew very little about, but now you just have to see it?
For me, it is Guardians of the Galaxy coming out on August 1st. I have never even heard of this property until we mentioned it on the show. And when that trailer dropped, I knew absolutely nothing other than Vin Diesel was a tree. That's all I knew.
I am Groot.
That is literally the only thing I knew about that property going into that. I've watched that trailer probably three or four times now. Just I go around singing that song.
It is now, one of the best trailers.
It is
I've seen
so
in a
good.
Long time.
And why is this top of my list? Number one reason why I want to see this movie so bad, like I have to. It has a talking raccoon that kicks ass, and that just that sold
it
me
makes
in that
you
movie.
Giggle.
Oh, it does. It looks so good. I can't wait.
My wife.
And
saw
you
that.
haven't even seen the or heard the raccoon talk yet.
Exactly.
We saw the Captain America movie, and they play that trailer before the camp, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My wife thinks that looks so stupid. And I'm just ecstatic, because that means, ha-ha, you don't have to come with. Yay!
You need to correct that woman.
Normally, she loves those kind of movies, but she thought she loved the squirrel, or the raccoon.
The squirrel.
Whatever. They're all looking for a nut. Raccoon, but she just thought everything else looked stupid. And I'm like, well, you're wrong. You're wrong. This time you're wrong. Sorry.
For me, it's Deliver Us from Evil. I do love horror, and it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it looks good.
That
yeah.
A horror movie is going to be coming out in, you know, July 2nd. But it's got characters that, I mean, actors that I like. I like Olivia Munn, but I really like Eric Bana. I feel like for some reason he just hasn't been picking the right roles, maybe, or there's something going on. But I feel like he should be a much bigger star than he is now. And the fact that this is directed by Scott Derrickson, who did Sinister and who did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, gives me a lot of confidence because I thought both of those movies were above average when it comes to good horror films. But to have a horror film that's supposedly based on true events about a New York police officer that suddenly finds himself you know, in the midst of supernatural events that he never believed in or thought could happen. Sounds interesting. And so, yeah, that's one that I'm surprised it's coming out, and I really want to see it.
What day does that come out?
July 2nd.
Mine is Jane Got a Gun. It comes out August 29th. It's Natalie Portman. She stars in, it's a Western, which they don't make many of these anymore. That's why I'm such a sucker for it. It stars Natalie Portman in a Western about an outlaw's wife who asks her ex-lover to help her save her husband from a gang that's come to kill him.
Awkward.
Very awkward. Very awkward. And it's a Western. I love Westerns. I don't see enough of them. I really can't wait to see it. And Natalie Portman's a great actress, so.
I guess Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. I really don't know the comic books or the graphic novels. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Are you a fan of the first one?
The first movie, I didn't read. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't read any of the books, so I don't know exactly. I don't know who it picks up with. I don't know anything about it, but I do love the movie itself. So I'm anxious to see how this, especially it's been a while since the first Sin City came out. It's been a while. All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's because it was such a weird, it's one of those movies that, and I guess because of the way that it was shot and filmed and with the black and white with the dash of color and the jumping back and forth, almost Tarantino-esque movie style, so to speak. That's kind of see where they, how they kind of expand on that, kind of see what else is going on in that big city.
What big movie are you calling right now as like the huge summer disappointment and why? And think Lone Ranger. Didn't have to be a bad movie. It's just a movie that came out and you thought it was going to be big, but it ended up landing with a thud.
You know, I don't want any of these movies to fail, but I of the ones that I've listed as my most anticipated, the one that I think really has the chip stacked against it is Hercules. I'm sure The Rock is a big draw. I like the guy. But Brett Ratner directing this film, I just think that it's one of those movies that people just aren't going to flock to a theater and see. It's just got that Scorpion King stink to it.
Yeah, it does a little bit. I think you got something there. You got something that's working, man. I get you.
Thank you.
I'm probably going to piss off at least one person.
I know which movie you're picking.
I've got to go with Jupiter Ascending.
Shut your face!
There we go. Let me preface it by saying I've got high hopes for this. I just think it's one of those movies that is almost going to be like, the Golden Compass a couple of years back?
Mm-hmm.
Where it had all this, you had great actors, you had an interesting story, you had cool effects, cool characters, and yet you put all that together and it adds equals crap somehow.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Brian, that was my pick too. Jupiter Ascending.
You and me, we're just simpatico.
I'm telling you. The Wachowskis haven't had a hit since the Matrix trilogy.
First one.
Yep.
But they're so good. Well, Speed Racer was amazing. Cloud Atlas was an 11.
No, it wasn't.
How do you
people
loving it?
I think you're in a minority on this one, Chief. And hey, I'm glad you love them. But unfortunately, most of the world doesn't. So
y'all are dumb. Y'all are dumb.
Yes, everybody else is wrong.
Yes, thank you.
This one will do a little bit better because there's going to be a lot of Magic Mike fans, a lot of sad Magic Mike fans going to see this for Channing Tatum.
Yeah, is he wiggling in space?
Just fog ears.
I don't think the movie's going to be bad. I just think it's going to be a flop. I don't think it's going to do well. I think it's going to be similar to Cloud Atlas, where it was above average. It wasn't. It's not 11, but it was a good movie.
Right, it's 12.
Speed
Racer. I'm just keep up in it.
Speed Racer was not good. I don't know.
Oh,
where.
Speed Racer was so goddamn good.
But they have this tendency. Where they constantly put style over substance. They sacrifice story every chance they can for a pretty picture.
They don't.
They really do. They really do.
We'll have to have a whole podcast devoted to this.
No, we don't.
I completely disagree. I think their style is substance.
Well, the rest of the world.
You record it by yourself.
I was going to say, have fun with that.
Well, that would be kind of neat. Just adjusting cast.
You would love it. That's my pick.
All right, let's move on. I hate you.
For me, I think
better say something else.
I think 22 Jump Street is going to bomb. I really do.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Wow.
I think that I think that concept work is a one-time novelty.
Poor Channing Tatum.
And the trailer just feels like it's trying too hard.
No, that trailer's so good.
The funniest part of that trailer to me was the fact that it's on 22 Jump Street because the other place was rented out to like a Korean church. To me, that is the funniest part of the trailer. The rest of it just looks like a lot of the same gags and not as funny. The whole with I don't even know the actor's name, Riggles from
oh, yeah.
Where they got him in the prison and talking about what happened to him in the previous movie. It's just going to be that kind of, I don't know, man.
The first one was a huge surprise hit. So
yeah. Again, Channing Tatum. Yeah.
Hey, one of these two is going to be a hit, and I'm guessing it's not going to be the one.
Ooh, Channing Tatum could be the Taylor Kitsch of 2014.
Shut up. I was just jumping on that joke.
The antithesis to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, that would be the proper choice of that word for that person.
All right, we're going to round robin it. What are your three most anticipated movies of summer 2014? Brian, you go first.
All right. I'm going to go with X-Men Days of Future Past. A lot of you guys love Bryan Singer and what he's done with the X-Men franchise. I personally think he's had too much time with his franchise, and I think he should probably pass the reins, or I think the, you know, Fox should pass the reins to somebody else. But I like what I've seen so far. I love this storyline from the comic books. I'm anxious to see what they do with it, how it works. Because in all honesty, this is like the first ever prequel / sequel that we've ever really seen. Think about it. It's the sequel to First Class, but it's also kind of the prequel to the other X-Men movies.
And kind of a sequel, given that it takes place in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It is. It's like a sequel, prequel, sequel.
It's a sequel.
It's a pre-sequel.
It's a presidio.
Oh, my God.
Oh, when's it come out, Brian? Do you have a date?
May
23rd. May 23rd.
Sure.
Scotty?
My number three is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. This is the sequel to the original Planet of the Apes movie. And the story is basically an all-out war between humans and the apes led by Caesar from the last film. I didn't love the first film, but even the teaser trailers and the still frame posters for this movie are just getting me so amped to see it. They both just really nailed it for me, and I can't wait to check it out. It comes out on July 11th.
Nice.
How was that?
That was great. Justin?
My number three is Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which comes out on August 22nd. It's a follow-up to the first film, Sin City. It carries on the story of a lot of the characters that were in that one, as well as introducing some new ones. It's kind of hard to give a one-sentence synopsis, considering that it covers about three or four different storylines coming together, but it's noir. It's Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller doing again what they did so well the first time. I can't wait to see this.
I'm really concerned about that one. I want it to be so good, but I'm so worried that it won't. It's been a long time. It's been a while. I'm not going to go in order. This is the one I want to see the most out of this year, and I'm going to say it before Brian gets a chance to. August 15th, Expendables 3. I freaking want to see that movie. Ooh. That is the fun movie of the summer for me. Stallone and the guys go toe-to-toe with Conrad Stonebanks. That's his name. I don't even know what the hell that means, but it's ridiculous.
Should just call them Conrad Stoneballs.
They should have. And he apparently helped found the Expendables, and he's played by Mel Gibson. And Stallone is forced to bring in a lot of big, muscly old guys to help take him down, including Harrison Ford, Wesley Snipes, Jason Statham's back, Jet Li's back. Oh, God. It's like just a man dream. I just love it. I just can't wait to see it. Sorry. Was I a little too excited on that one?
Put it back in your pants, man.
Yeah. I think I heard you hit the table. I'm just saying. And I don't mean
Black
with your
hammer.
Hands.
Black hammer.
Oh, man. Yeah, another one of mine. I'm sticking with the Marvel Universe here, man. I've got to go with Guardians of the Galaxy. There's something about that I'm hooked on a feeling song that just made this trailer. The movie may be shit. I don't know. I don't care. But I'm even as a comic book nerd, I vaguely know about these characters, even though I do know they've been kind of reinvented in the last probably 5 to 10 years. So this looks like just a lot of hella fun. And the fact that I'm not familiar with this is a rare kind of a rare experience for me to see these characters for the first time and see how they interact and their stories, that kind of stuff. So I'm anxious to see, I mean, not only how this movie plays out, but of course the tie-ins that it has with some of the other movies in the past and in the future. So
that comes out August 1st.
August 1st. In this summer, by the way, I got a summer movie for once.
My number two is Godzilla. Yeah, I said it.
Chewbacca. Sorry.
Chewbacca.
Yeah, sorry.
It comes out on May 16th, and if I really got to tell you the story of Godzilla, but hey, it's a giant lizard terrorizing the city, and Walter White's trying to stop it. So
Walter with blue meth. Please tell me blue meth.
You guys know I love disaster movies, and there's not much more disastrous than a giant lizard wrecking a city. So, you know, plus I found some fun times in the last film. I think Brian agreed with me on that. And I like that this one, and it was kind of a silly take on it. I like that this one's taken in a more serious turn. So I'm looking forward to it.
Is it just me or does Godzilla get bigger every movie? Like
he's pretty fucking big now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he started off like a large lizard. Now he's basically in the clouds. At what point is he just interstellar, literally?
In another 15 years, when he gets rebooted again, he'll be swatting away the moon.
Exactly.
By the way, one of the coolest teaser trailers I've seen in a long time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Before the actual trailer came out.
Definitely. And when does Godzilla come out?
May 16th, like I said.
He did say it.
I didn't hear it.
It's because of Scott.
I was laughing at your shitty-ass impression.
That's okay. Aaron didn't hear you say July 2nd earlier either, so.
I got to echo Brian. Guardians of the Galaxy is my number two. Like him, I'm not overly familiar with the characters. I know of them. But I don't know them familiar as I do a lot of the other Avengers characters. The one thing I do know is that it is a more tongue-in-cheek comic book than the others are. And I'm so glad to see that carried through in this film about a group of disparate heroes, maybe, kind of, sort of, maybe-ish, that are out to save the galaxy. James Gunn looks like he's done, from the trailers judging by, an amazing job of marrying that humor with some really cool action sequences. It looks spectacular. And just like you guys, when every time I hear that, see the trailer, it's one of the few trailers that I don't mind seeing over and over and over again. And a lot of it is that song and the way they implement it. Mm-hmm. It looks fantastic. I can't wait to see how it marries in to the rest of the Marvel franchise.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah, franchise. Shut up. Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out May 2nd. I love the original Spider-Man. I really like Part 2. Don't like Part 3 at all. And the Amazing Spider-Man I thought was very good. As much as I love Spider-Man, this is the movie that excites me and scares me the most. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many damn villains in the movie. And reviews are starting to come out, and they're saying that there's too many damn villains in the movie. That makes me a little concerned. They've seen it, and they said the same thing. Mark Webb directed it. He did a decent job with the first one, so I am looking forward to it. It is in my top three.
He did a better job than that other dude. Oh, what's his name?
You shut your whore mouth. That would be Sam Raimi. And this
Rain Man?
I would like to say that Spider-Man is taking on Electro in this movie, and that's the plot. But unfortunately, he's also taking on Green Goblin, Sinister Six, probably Aunt May. He's probably going to fight with her at some point.
He's like, bitch, I said.
Exactly.
Where's my dinner?
Where's my meatloaf?
That's right. You got to get straightened out.
Yep. Sometimes it happens. But it really concerns me, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there opening day and pray that it works out the way I want it to.
What scares me, I agree with that. That's one of the ones I'm kind of anticipating too, but I've got very weird, skeptical thoughts about it. Just mainly, it's almost like Captain America where we're seeing way too much of this movie way too early.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm really concerned. Like it's almost like somebody going, no, you're really, really going to like this. I promise. And just, they're telling you that over and over and over. Just
yep.
hopefully brainwashing you that you're going to like it whenever you eventually see it. And
that's the same way they get kids in the van. Yep. Try this. It's tasty. Get in the back. Get in the back.
That and free candy. Mm-hmm. So
that's how you get them in.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's a time honored, you know, it works. I mean, why break it if it ain't, you know, why fix it if it ain't broken? So
Brian, what's your last one?
June 27th, Transformers 4, Age of Extinction. I'm so excited to not see Shia motherfucking LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah.
So instead you get Marky Mark.
Mm-hmm. I'll take Marky Mark any day. Any day.
What?
Even if
wearing,
you got the funky
wearing
lunch.
Only Calvin Klein underwear all 2.5 hours. I don't care. If as long as Shia's not in it.
Fair enough. Scotty?
I'll echo Brian's again as well. May 23rd, X-Men Days of Future Past. I think I said it was my most anticipated movie of the year. So by default becomes my favorite, my most anticipated movie of the summer.
Oh, I'm so worried about that movie.
Oh, really? Did you see that recent trailer?
I have, but and unlike Brian, I like Bryan Singer. I think his first two X-Men movies are better than number three and First Class. I love that they're bringing back or that they're merging those casts together. But it's like it is a recipe with so many different ingredients. I'm scared that it's just not going to come together.
Hmm.
In the final film, but I am so hopeful that it will. But I do have to admit I am really worried that it's not going to come together and make the bunk cake that I want it to be. For my number one, of course, it's going to be 22 Jump Street. Just kidding. July 18th, Wachowski siblings.
Oh boy,
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. It's about Mila Kunis, a girl on Earth who has a destiny beyond the stars, and that destiny comes a-calling. Even if, and here's my final consolation, even if it financially fails, I will get to see the film. They will not be taking that from me. Huge Wachowski fan. They have never let me down. And the trailers for this look amazing. I am a sucker for space operas, and this looks to be as operatic as they come. Cannot wait to see this film. It looks like it will blow everything else this summer out of the water. And it comes out July 18th. Oh, you can throw me off, motherfucker. You can chew all you want and snore. That movie's going to kick ass. I'm hoping.
Oh, is Justin still talking?
Oh, Jupiter Ascending, July 18th.
Jupiter what? What's that called?
Ascending. No. He's rising.
Speed Racer 4? All right.
I'm sorry. Oh, what is this? Like The Fountain Part 3?
Oh, God.
Cloud Atlas version 2.0?
Justin's review. Jupiter Ascending 14. 14 out of 10. It was amazing.
I am giving them extra monies.
He's going to go up to the theater counter and say, hi, I'd like to pay $25 for my ticket, please.
Just send it to the Wachowskis. They need it to finance their next opus. And obviously, in no particular order, my number three, or the one I want to see, the comedy I want to see the most. How's that? I want to see it the most. I said Expendables 3 first, mostly because I just wanted to say it before Brian stole it, which, you know, he didn't even steal it. But A Million Ways to Die in the West, it comes out May 30th. Shocked I even want to see it, but the trailer just has me guffawing, if that's still a word.
It is.
Okay. Well, he stars as a coward who falls for a woman whose husband is a notorious gunslinger, and the gunslinger is Liam Neeson. The girl, Charlize Theron. And then there's like a host of characters, tons of cameos. It just looks R-rated Western funny, and it reminded me of Blazing Saddles without all the fart jokes. I really want to see it. I think it looks hysterical.
I want more beans. I think you bad know.
I'm not sure fart jokes is the first thing that people think of when they think of Blazing Saddles.
There's like one scene that had fart jokes. There was racism abundant in that movie.
The sheriff's a nipple.
All right, now let's mention some of our listeners and what their picks were. Justin, you go first.
All right, Craig Schermerhorn says, most looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man, as well as The Final Hobbit. That is not a summer movie, Craig.
It is not,
it
Craig.
It is not.
Craig!
Yeah, Craig.
Craig. So I am nixing that one, thank you. We'll get to that when we get to our winter releases. How to Train Your Dragon 2, tops of my list, though, don't judge me, but Hobbit next and Guardians close behind. Anticipated flop, Hercules with The Rock. Thank you, Craig. I will now let The Hobbit kind of ride because you agreed with me. And I love people who agree with me.
You sure
we'll
do.
Watch it, but not expecting great things.
Brian?
Yeah, let's see here. Douglas Clayton says he's excited about Godzilla. His flop is Noah.
Not a summer movie.
Not a summer movie, but hey.
And yeah, well, I'm glad people read better than I do. Not. So
you're in good company.
But hey, I am giving him props because he is practicing brevity.
There you go.
Which rarely any of us do.
D.H. Haney said, looking forward to the most, Guardians of the Galaxy. Flop, even though Godzilla looks great. Pacific Rim didn't do so well, so Godzilla might follow that trend where it doesn't do as good as it should, even if it's a good film.
It'll do big in Japan. If they do it right, it'll actually be huge in Japan. Scotch Calgaro said, most anticipated is a tie between Godzilla and Guardians of the Galaxy. Most likely to flop is unfortunately Interstellar. Once again, doesn't come out in the summer.
People read the directions.
It looks like a smart, intelligent sci-fi piece that will be visually stunning and make the audience think, yeah, that's great. That'll be great. Come back in November. We'll talk about it.
To be fair, reading the directions apparently didn't help us this episode.
That's true,
either,
because
so.
Brian actually picked Interstellar at one point. We just edited that part out. So don't feel bad.
The directions you give, you just change on the fly.
Yeah.
All right.
I was anticipating that would count as summer with your format changes that you do in your head that you don't tell us about.
Thanks for that, Scotch.
Scotch Calgon.
Robert John Davenport says, Godzilla, who doesn't want to see what Gareth Edwards can do with a big budget and Bryan Cranston yelling his trademark roar? Transcendence, it looks good and doesn't seem to be born from another property.
Well, then I'm sorry for earlier. I offended you, probably.
X-Men, Maleficent, How to Train Your Dragon Squared, Transformers, because Marky Mark can only make robots fighting better. Jupiter Ascending, am I right, Justin? Up top.
No. Mm.
Lucy, Guardians, I have no words. Flops are going to be a tough call. There's Edge of Tomorrow, Jupiter Ascending, and Transcendence, all of which look to be fantastic movies, but they suffer from the problem that they are not from pre-existing properties. And I am afraid Edge of Tomorrow will flop too, even though it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my concerns also. David Billups Jr. says, I miss Red Jersey Boys for Jerky Boys. I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. He said, but it, of course, it will not be out this summer. My new pick for biggest flop of the summer is Sex Tape. LOL.
Yeah, I agree. And Brian, you actually read the next one too.
All right. And David Billups Jr. continues to say, I know that all the big boys will be fine Guardians, Avengers, etc. So the movie that is exciting me the most is Dawn of the Apes.
Hey.
Planet of the Apes has been one of my favorite franchises since I was a kid. The original movies had such a strong message about current society at the time while still entertaining you and making you think, that, which is what I believe to be good sci-fi. It seems that this current reboot is taking the franchise seriously. Cool.
David McGrath says, everything I've seen for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes has me really excited.
It's getting a lot of kudos, man.
It's shaping up to be something really special, I feel. A close second is Godzilla. It looks just crazy cool. I love The Rock, but I have a bad feeling about Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
We've already had one Hercules film recently. It's not a name that gets people overly excited, and The Rock hasn't had the best track record as a solo lead.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody keeps calling on the box office god. Go find a movie where he's the sole star and tell me what a big hit that was. And I do want to say, David, if you're interested, I am recording audio tapes of my Godzilla call, and it goes a little bit like, that, and there'll be 99 cents each. So I'm working on that. Sean McGuire, most looking forward to X-Men Days of Future Past. I think Edge of Tomorrow will flop, but I do want to see it. Honorable mention for want to see is Transformers. Boy, I'm really surprised there's not more for Transformers.
Transformers, I am so joyous to see coming out, but this summer is chock-a-block with fantastic, exciting films, and somehow it just, as great as it looks, it just doesn't quite measure up excitement-wise to some others. But it's just one more reason for me to hit the theaters this summer, definitely. Jonathan Spear says, I'm really looking forward to quite a few movies this summer, but one I'm looking forward to and also think will flop is Jupiter Ascending. The Wachowskis can't seem to draw the box office they deserve. Goddamn right.
Deserve? Really? Really, Jonathan? Come
on,
son.
They should be covered in coke whores and money at this point. Even the sister.
All right. Remember, if you like us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. We'll mention you on the next week's show. John Yu and D. Venn, thanks a lot for liking us. We appreciate that. Got a couple emails. We're going to wrap it up and do Game of Thrones. So, Justin?
Email from Craig Schermerhorn. Great show, guys. The cliffhanger should be the truffle of TV shows, used sparingly, strategically, and with designed intent. It can be powerful and mind-blowing when you need that final piece to pull it together. What it has become is the salt and pepper. It gets thrown in every dish because it's supposed to be there without thought or design. It may not ruin the dish and can even be necessary, but too much dulls the palate and makes the dish ordinary. Man, that is a lot of culinary reference. It's like the tease for talk shows to keep you after the commercial. When overused, you become an infomercial pitch man. Fringe did it well. Buffy was masterful. The last episode of Angel, last moment, made me want more, but not sure it's a cliffhanger. Oh, it's a cliffhanger, Craig. Mm-hmm. That's a cliffhanger. Just my 2 cents, or my 2 pennies.
I like that. It's good. And that's from last week's show. We talked about TV cliffhangers. Brian? Yep.
Yeah, this is from Sean McGuire. He says, Terminus was also the original name of Atlanta, Georgia. The area that eventually became Atlanta was called Terminus because it was where all the railroads that were being built were going to end. Oddly enough, Terminus was also the name of a 2011 sci-fi movie about a journey through post-apocalyptic Atlanta. One of the stars of Terminus was none other than Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl Grimes on The Walking Dead, which is
full circle.
Wow, Sean, pulling out the facts. Nice.
Well, yes.
Okay. We were waiting for something a little bit more dramatic there, Brian.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually, before that, it was actually named Thrasherville before that.
Okay.
Before Terminus?
Yes, it was actually named after the founder named John Thrasher. Later it was referred to as Terminus, which of course literally means end of the line. Back in 1842, the city continued to expand, so they wanted to name it Lumpkin after the current governor of Georgia.
Holy shit, Scott.
Lumpkin?
Let's go.
Yep.
Let's move
he
on.
He declined it, and he named it Marthasville after his daughter. Then a few years later, they
Do we need the history of all of
Atlanta.
Georgia right now?
I'm just correcting.
He's a good Georgia son.
Just look. You know, we're talking about my state.
You also lost the war. Scott.
We also heard
now you're just being an asshole.
We also heard from Marcus Shelton, who says, man, blew through the Clone Wars on Netflix. More than a little impressed. How can an animated TV show be so much deeper than 3 feature-length films? Maybe that's a good topic to take on.
I haven't seen them. Who's seen the Clone Wars?
Justin,
I've seen quite a few of them. They're good.
Yeah?
They are really good.
Do they rival Star Wars in terms of dramatic?
But no. Oh. Well, if you take it as a whole, I'm sure that it does. But, you know, on an individual episode-by-episode basis, it's good. It's entertaining. But it's not as tight as I like these types of shows to be. But it's good. As a Star Wars fan, yes.
That's what he said. Go ahead, Scott.
We also heard from Vicky Calguero. She says, okay, considering this is a telenovela, this is actually a really well-done adaptation just by watching the preview. I don't think my cable provider carries this channel, but I'll have to look for it eventually. And she gave us a link to a Spanish version of Breaking Bad.
Look it up. Say it, Scott.
What's that?
Metastasis.
Thank you.
Now, is she related to Scotch?
Yes.
Is she tequila?
They're not in the same family.
That's how they got married. I do think it's cool that we've got a couple that listen to it. That's pretty cool. Thanks for listening, Scotch.
And tequila.
Scotch and tequila. All right. And also, Scott, the husband, wanted me to say that he just finished, he actually sent me a message and wanted me to say how much he loved Justin's book. And because Justin's ego is not nearly large enough, he wanted me to make sure to tell everybody else, go buy his books, which he does have one coming out April 22nd called Stillwater.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
Scotch. That's Scotch. His name.
And yes, it's called well, Saturn Descending.
He's complimenting me, so I'll call him Scott for this one moment.
Saturn Descending.
You can always find us at thehollywoodoutsider.com or tweet us on @_outsider, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Normally you stay through the credits for outtakes, but the last couple weeks we've had a couple TV shows. We're going to talk about Game of Thrones this week. We're just going to touch on the premiere briefly before we do our huge deal at the end of the season. Leave us a message or text us at 818-814-6246. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed. And that's going to do it for the main episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Justin, Brian, and Scotty for being here.
Actually, there is Jupiter on the cover of Haywire, so it all comes around. And life is a circle.
Does that mean your book wasn't worth it either?
Oh!
Is it all style and no substance?
I ain't gonna fucking dignify that.
So would the Sci-Fi Channel knockoff movie be like Uranus Swelling?
That sounds more like a TMI medical condition.
Uranus NATO?
Uranus inflamed.
All right, guys. Remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn and Justin McCumber's new book, which comes out April 22nd.
Stillwater.
Game of Thrones season premiere. Now we're going to talk about this. We're not going to drag it out for too long, but we had the premiere finally air. We've been talking about it for a while. We've been excited about it. A few new characters, most notably Oberyn and the new Dario. That was a little odd because they changed the actors from last season to this season. And he doesn't even look remotely the same.
Why do we know why that change was made?
Because the first guy sucked ass.
Well, they are going with the professional response, saying that he committed to a new series called The Transporter, but some of the other places are saying that he wasn't a very good actor and they were not pleased with his work. But take it whatever you want. He's going to be in a new series called The Transporter, or the film's The Transporter. I don't know, whatever. But which one of the new guards stuck with you the most, Brian?
Oberyn really, as a character, he struck me as a more interesting guy. I think, of course, there's some mystery behind him. He's obviously a little bit more, as he says, the Lannisters are not the only ones who pay their debts, mm-hmm. Which is obviously setting up some pretty exciting stuff down the road. As far as the new Dario guy, I just don't think he was a good actor. I thought he had a weird voice.
The last one or the new one?
The last one.
Okay, me too. Yeah.
I didn't like his voice. I didn't like his looks. He's jacked. I mean, the dude is big. Even in the types of clothes, you could just tell the dude was just a big dude. But what I don't like about the new guy is the new guy just looks like another bearded guy that's looks like every other middle-aged bearded guy.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
And at least with the old one, I could say, all right, he's a very handsome guy. He's just got a weird looking voice, which threw me off. But by the time the end of the series goes, I just accepted the fact that, all right, I mean, he's a handsome chap and I can see why Danny would be falling for him instead of Mr. Friend in the, friend zone dude, Jorah Mormont.
Lord Friend Zone.
Lord Friend Zone.
So, that is the perfect name for that poor son of a bitch.
You know, so this other guy, I just don't buy him, and I'm sure after 10 episodes I'll just accept that he's the new Dario and so be it. But he just looks like another generic middle-aged bearded dude.
Well, here's
that we've got so many of already.
Here's the problem, I think, with that is I think a lot of people missed that was even the same character.
I absolutely know for a fact people did.
Because
people
asked me about it. I went into the episode knowing it because we had talked about it, that he was being replaced, so I went in expecting it. And I was talking to my friends about it, and I asked them, so what'd you think about the character change? What are you talking about? They didn't, you know, it's one of those shows where there's so many characters, mm-hmm. and it's hard to keep the name straight as it is and be like, oh, this is Dario. And they're like, who? Like, well, the Conan looking dude from the last.
And that's why, like, early on when this season first started, like, that's why I really stressed you have to watch every season more than once. Mm-hmm. You really have to watch it 2 to 3 times to pick up the. This is a great example, like, to pick up the characters and the names and how they relate to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And because just like this, you've got a very large character now who has been changed and nobody really caught on to it. I mean, I didn't, if leading in the, what was it, Aaron, like 10 minutes before the episode even started, you mentioned the fact that, what do you think about the new guy?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I had no idea.
Yeah, because like, they didn't publicize it a lot. Yeah,
I mean, I because I am a big fan, I would have realized, like, wait a minute, this is a, you know, what? Who is this? You know, I would have figured it out because I knew who Dario was.
Couldn't they make him shave, for crying out loud? I mean, so he at least looked remotely similar to the other guy. So,
or long hair.
Well, I didn't mind the original Dario, even though with that hair, I always kind of expected him to break out into a Nelson song. I still thought he looked different enough from all the other people in that region that by standing out, it was kind of a unique thing. But like you're saying, Aaron, he looks now just like every other person from that region. And I could see why people would be thrown off. At least hire a guy that harkens somewhat to the original actor. He doesn't have to have long, flowing blonde hair, but maybe just still blonde. Something to make you think, oh, this is that same guy.
Right.
It's confusing, but Oberyn, oh, man, I like him a lot.
I loved him.
If he's going to fuck up Lannister shit, I yes, please.
Yeah, for real, as much as I love the character of Tyrion, you got to love a character that gives that guy pause. Because he looked a little like
Tyrion's
taken
like,
aback.
Oh, shit.
Exactly.
Can we talk a minute before we move on? I gotta have a quick grievance with the people that have read the books. Not all of them. It's obviously a very small minority. But you little sons of bitches that run on message boards after you see the premiere and you do constant spoilers when people are talking about the show. If you know stuff that happened, shut the hell up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about it. I don't know why you feel so special about ruining shows for people. But it's really not cool. It's really not cool. I like to go on to like IGN and stuff like that and just read what people thought of the episodes. I don't know if you guys do that, but I do. Especially once you guys go to bed and I'm like, well, nobody's left to talk to me. And and you go on there and it never fails. There's 90% of people that have already read the books don't say anything. They're like, I liked how they handled this particular story aspect or this new character or whatever, or I didn't like this. But there's always some douchebag who I read the book. Oh, you're going to like what happens next episode. Or I can't wait until they get to the wedding of whatever. You know, just like last season, they did that. Never fails. They do something like that to where it's like, great, now I know something's coming or I know exactly what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can't wait till the mountain reaches the river. What?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound snarky, but don't go there anymore. I purposefully avoid places that I know are going to post spoilers. And if somebody on Facebook does it, if they do it just once, boom, they're blocked. I don't cotton to spoiler people at all, and I won't put up with it. Well, if you know that's a site that's going to have it, I would just tell you, just don't go. Even if it sucks, I would say don't risk spoiling yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Justin. And I totally avoid things like Twitter, Facebook, while I'm watching that show. You know, a lot of other shows, I can whatever multitask, pay attention, and play on my iPad, whatever, while I'm watching it. But this one here, I'm totally in Westeros or wherever they're at. You know, and I don't want, you know, I don't want to read. Honestly, I don't want to read any article about it. Mm-hmm. I purposely avoid it because I don't want to take that chance of scrolling in. Down something. And a lot of people are getting better at announcing, hey, spoilers, follow after this. You know, if you don't want to know anything, stop now. But there's still a handful, there's still a lot out there that don't.
Yeah.
And what mm-hmm. they honestly don't even think that they're trying to spoil anything for you.
Yes.
They are so excited about it.
Some are.
Some are. Some are just. Some people just.
I mean, there's assholes everywhere. I mean, what? You know.
Yeah, I'm convinced there's people that actually ran out and read the books just so they could spoil shit for everybody else.
I agree 100%. Yeah. There's some that feel like they are above you because they've done something that you haven't.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you read the books, you'd know.
I know those people are out there, but I don't think those are the majority of the ones. I think, honestly, I think the majority of them are. Of the people that spoil without giving any kind of thing, they're just such big fanboys that they get a little excited and maybe expand on little details that they probably shouldn't.
Yeah. But with the, I've been on a forum for the past like 10, 15 years, there are spoiler tags. And any decent person that knows how forum works, you can tag it. I don't mean just like, hey, spoiler ahead. You literally cover the text in black so that you can't see it unless you highlight it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really easy to do. And if you, in a
is
forum
Rotten
like
Tomatoes I, Tomatoes still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah.
Well, regardless, take that advice for what you will and that critique. But of the returning gang, John, he got off light. I mean, and he's healed really fast. Danny is roaming the countryside. The Lannisters are still screwed up. I feel a little bit bad for, you know, the handyman, but not bad enough because he still pushed Kit out the window. What was your favorite storyline set up for the coming season?
Well, I'm actually most interested in seeing what happens with Jamie's story. I love
because you like that gold hand.
No. I mean, we're totally.
That's a
spoiling.
Nice little way for them to not have to constantly CGI his hand out. Now just put a gold glove on it.
It was in the book though, so it is legitimate.
Right, but we're doing total. We can talk all about the episode, right? I love that his sister turned him down. I don't know, like there's something for multiple reasons why that's awesome. He's got his gold hand, like you said. His father seems to have no faith in him.
Do you know there's some people that were bummed about that because they wanted him to hook up as soon as they got back and stuff?
Well, the poor son of a bitch has braved death.
It's his
and
sister.
Traveled hundreds of miles just to get some of that sister poon.
It's still, it's
and
yeah.
Saying,
and,
can, uh-uh.
And she's like, nuh-uh, you took too long, motherfucker.
They go tease.
He's like, hey, look, I was a prisoner. I've been sleeping in mud and a wooden freaking. Box
got
for,
my hand
for the last
off.
Year and a half. I got my hand chopped off. I trust me, I wanted to get back. Well, you didn't want to get back bad enough.
Sorry, I got me.
I shoved my stump in her face. I wanted this bad.
Well, guess what I haven't been doing for the past few months?
I'm a righty.
Also, I'm interested to see what happens with Sansa a little bit because.
Okay, can you just pick one so that we all aren't taking.
No,
second
you motherfuckers
you?
Got Captain America for 45 minutes, so I'm going to talk about something I got to see.
Ooh, getting. I tell you, your little back spine is starting to look like Godzilla there, motherfucker.
Damn. He's like, fuck you.
No, I had the realization watching this first episode that I didn't realize. I mean, obviously, it was there in the last season, but Sansa. As far as we were concerned, didn't know about Rob until the very beginning of this season.
No, she found out at the end of last season.
She did find out.
It was in the, yeah. It was in
okay,
the...
so she had, but she had a much more morose reaction in this one. Like she was just basically, she's not eating. She's
She's very depressed.
She's depressed. She's more or less given up on life, and something's got to, I don't know. She's either got a break or something's good's got to happen to her. So
I hope so.
I'm interested to see where that goes.
What about you, Justin?
For me, it's all about the Darius and her dragons, or Danny. I'm sorry, Danny and her dragons. They have been such a motivating force for her throughout the previous three seasons, and particularly the last season, when they could actually be functional as a force of intimidation. And now suddenly these. Beasts of legend that she has been mothering, not turning on her, but more just kind of stretching their wings, so to speak. And it's like they're teenagers now and they're fucking rowdy and they don't like their mom. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how she's going to handle that because they've been her, what's the word? Force majeure, maybe. They have been what's given her a lot of authority. Mm-hmm. And now her authority over them is questionable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could bite her in the ass. So we'll see how that goes.
Shit, it almost bit her in the face.
Yeah, it sure did.
Just please don't lose him again.
Speaking of, I'd love to bite
Everything's Chewbacca sounds. Just
that was really high-pitched Chewbacca. I think, honestly, I'm most interested in the Lannisters. Not so much the Jamie Cersei because I think that's just gross. But Jamie and Joffrey and Tywin, those three, it just their whole dynamic and how Tywin wants him to take his rightful place at Casterly Rock, and he wants to continue to be a knight just to be close to his sister, which is just creepy. Joffrey has no respect for the guy. Everybody hates Joffrey, but he's still Jamie's son. I mean, it's almost
even
like
family
it's
hates
like
him.
Days of Our Lives in the throne, man. And I just
even Cersei is thrown in the towel and hates that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Oh, it's so
probably the most hated villain I have ever seen.
And that poor kid in real life is probably like people probably just spit on him in the streets. Oh, yeah. When they
see
him.
What's up, guy?
Probably sweeter and. I don't know.
I've heard it.
Yeah,
I've
it was funny. If you listen to the commentaries, and I don't know which episode, but I know it was in the first season, somebody talks about the fact that whenever, after the, you know, the first, whatever, I don't know if it was the end of the first season or I guess it must have been, because I think it was as at the end of the first season, especially after Sean Bean gets beheaded.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler?
Well, what the fuck? They deserve. Sorry, they're an idiot if they're listening to this I'm at this kidding. Point and haven't seen it. But anyway, I think it was his agent that texted him and basically said, "Congratulations, everybody hates you," you know. And they do, of course. You know, everybody's flattering of everybody, but they by all accounts, he is a very good kid.
Now, what did you think? What was your favorite storyline?
You know, I'll tell you what. The interesting thing that about the Lannisters that. Kind of just to expand on yours for 1 second is I love this dynamic that they've got where Tywin Lannister is basically ready to just retire or die, whatever the case is. He knows he's never going home. He's pretty much going to die in
the hands of
King's Landing.
Yeah, King's Landing. Sorry. Yeah. But I love this fact that he's got these three kids and it's almost like this rock, paper, scissors dynamic they've got. Yeah, you've got, true. You know, you've got Tyrion. Well, actually, the one that he wants to take over, Jaime, has no interest at all in it. He's absolutely he could care less about it. He just wants to be a good soldier. He really doesn't care about the money.
Do you think though that maybe he thinks this is a confirmation he needed that his son and daughter are boning?
It's not really got anything to do with what I'm talking about.
Well, no, but he looked at his son, Jaime, to go back to Casterly Rock and be the lord that he now can't be.
No, I think he's just frustrated because Jaime is who he wants to rule.
When Jaime denied that, to me, that kind of put a look on Tyrion, on Tywin's face like, fuck, he really does want to stay here. And there's really only one good reason being his sister. That was my thought.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, I don't know. I can see it. I don't
I'm
think
a sick puppy though.
Well, I mean, you are, but I don't, it's just to me, I just think it's funny that Jamie's got no interest in ruling. You know, he's got no interest in, you know, yeah, he likes the money, but he's not all about the money. Like Tyrion is. Tyrion is probably the most qualified to run it, but his dad hates him. So he's never going to run it. And then you've got Cersei who wants it most, but is the least qualified of any of them to run it. So you've got all this dynamic there that I just find hilarious, you know, not hilarious, but find it really interesting. But as far as the back to the favorite storyline part, the Hound and Arya,
mm-hmm.
I'm loving their dynamic. I love this, you know, badass little team that they're becoming. I hope, I mean, as much hatred as she's had for the Hound and his role with, you know, with killing her friend and the hatred that she's had for him, you kind of see that softening a little bit and her accepting him and they're becoming a pretty badass little duo. So this whole scene where they were in that inn and taking out all those guards, it was, that was pretty cool.
Any major surprises or thoughts on the premiere, or where you think the show seems to be headed?
I wouldn't say that I got really any huge surprises, but I did think that it was fantastic. I thought everybody got enough due, though Jon Snow could have had a little more given what he all went through and what's to come. But no, I thought that they did a really good job of giving everybody a moment to push their story forward. I loved the Arya stuff. I loved Dany's stuff. I thought, you know, it's just stepping right back into that world, and they did a good job of settling me in.
I would agree with you there, Justin. It's just one of those things where I didn't need a giant battle to suck me into this story. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where I'm just glad to hear more about whether it's Danny, whether it's Jon Snow, whether it's the Hound and Arya, whether it's what's going on in King's Landing, you know, the second tier, the third tier characters. Of course, there's still so much out there that we haven't even really seen too much of. I mean, we really didn't see the Tyrells too much. Marjorie and Olenna Tyrell, her mother.
Just jewelry grandma, shopping.
Just to look right. Didn't really see them too much. Of course, Theon, we haven't seen yet.
I don't really give a shit about his arc. I don't care about him.
See, I'm more interested to kind of see what happens with him now, because you see in the teasers, you see him like riding a horse. So apparently he gets out at some point in some capacity. But if there's anyone I don't really care about, it's Bran.
Yeah, I don't care about him either. I mean, he can't do anything. He just stumbles around. So
no, he's got the warg power, which I think is interesting. I wonder what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, if you want to see through somebody or something.
What is he without Hodor?
Hodor.
What's that, Scotty?
What is he without Hodor at this point? I mean, he's got to have someone cart his ass around.
He ain't moving.
That's true. He ain't going anywhere. He could warg all he wants. He could
crawl. I mean, shit.
He could drag his ass around.
He could put a couple wheels on his knees. And...
Well, Arya's really the biggest surprise. I really like the dark turn they took with her.
I mean, and it's one of those you're kind of – you knew it was coming at some point. I wasn't expecting it that quick.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the Hope and Crosby Road movie either, where her and the Hound are just running around slaughtering people as they go.
On their way to Ishtar.
Yep. So overall, what'd you guys think in terms of the setting up this season? You ready? You game?
Loved it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just this definitely did a great job of setting everything up. Again, I didn't need some giant shocking moment. It's just one of those. I know how it ended, and I want to know how it's going to continue. And of course, you've got certain arcs they're going to be covering. I thought they did a nice job of starting that.
I think Brian said it best that.
Yeah.
The one thing about this show that. One thing I love about this show is that it's so unconventional in what it does as a traditional TV series. We don't have that series finale that has to have that big bang moment. We don't have the finale is where the really cool stuff for stuff you're talking about the next day happens. This episode, I really liked it. It seemed like not a whole lot happened, but that's okay to me. It's a lot of setup, like Brian said, and I liked it. I like that it's leading me into the rest of the season, and I'm just as more amped to go. I love having something to look forward to on Sundays again.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've actually been able to see it episode to episode.
Ooh, aren't you?
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you,
so that magic number is now 3 seasons.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, that's all for our show. Our long show.
Wait, my thoughts.
No,
please.
I don't really care what your thoughts are. We're going. All right, guys. Remember, next time you go to the theater, buy popcorn. I think I already said that. So, what's a good Game of Thrones catchphrase? I don't know. Game on.
Game on.
All men must die.
That's what I just said, but in Valyrian.
Oh, there we go.
Fuck all y'all.